avodatocha asur. Rav distinguishes between inside the oven as opposed to on top of the stove. So the Gemara says that this is a clear indication he must be talking about hachazor. How is he talking about hachazor? So Rashi has a pshat which Tosis considers a doichet. So the Rebbe explains that the whole difference between Tocha Agabo only makes sense in the area of Hachazor. In Shehiya it does make a difference. There are four opinions. When do you need a blech in order to do Shehiya? Chananya says once it's reached the point of Machal Ben Usoi, there's no need for a blech. And below that point, you need a blech. And then you have the next opinion, as Rabbi Yechanan, once it's Bashal called Turkey, you don't need a blech. Before that, you need a blech. Rabbi Shmuel say up until Mitzamek Veralo. And Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yudah hold even Mitzamek Veralo, you also need a blech. You always need a blech. Four opinions. So whatever you hold by Shehiya, which one of the four opinions you'll accept doesn't make a difference whether you're leaving the food on top of the burner. Are you leaving the food inside the oven? The same thing. Same four sheets apply. Rav's member that I distinguish between Tocha Agaba only makes sense in the area of Hachazor. There is a din that Hachazor is forbidden in the Rabbanon. And it's only Mutter. Where is Hachazor? Mutter. So the Machleg is Bishame Bishil. Where Hachazor is Mutter or Rosh. And we follow Bishil Hachazor is Mutter. So the Gemara says on Lamed Chesam it says, when is Hachazor Mutter? So you have the two conditions. You have Oida B'yodai, B'dayta L'Hachzir. What does that add up to? What is it? What do you need Oida B'yodai, B'dayta L'Hachzir? The Gemara has two L'Shainas, whether you need both conditions or you need either one condition or the other. Two L'Shainas in the Gemara. But L'Chatchila for sure you need the both conditions. Ashayla L'Psak Halacha, how we pass from Allah. So the classical poskim assumed that you needed both conditions. The Mishnah Berurah is Mitzadet Lahakil, so Tzveka the Rabban Lakula. The whole din of Hachzor is only with the Rabban and two the Shainis in the Gemara, and not conclusive. So he says maybe it can be made up with one condition without the other. By the way, it was always assumed before the Mishnah Berurah came along. You needed both conditions. What is this all about? When you have Oida Biyata B'dayta Lahakil, so this is the Hemshech from before. So I don't consider it Nesini Mechadosh. I consider this a Hemshech from the original Shehiyah. So now, and that's why the Ramah says, the simple reading in the Ramah, that's how the Magen Avraham read the Ramah, that you have to have Leidin Tzana Legamre. It's not sufficient, though, to be other B'day to Lahasi. But if I'm holding on to the pot of soup, and they're serving the soup in the bowls, and I'm holding on for an hour, and it cools down to room temperature. So that's called the Hemshah from the original Shehiyah. It cooled down to room temperature. I'm going to put it back on top of the fire. What good does that help? Oida B'yodah V'day T'lahachzir. If it's Nistana L'gamra, even if it's not soup, even if it's not a Dovalach. Dovalach, the Vilna Gaon says that the Ramah says, then Nistana L'gamra goes on Dovalach. But on Dova Yovesh and on Dova Gush, the Bir Alocha points out that you see from the Bir Agro that he understood by Dova Gush, you don't have to have Leinen Tzana L'gamra against the Mogen Avram. Pashup Shatna Ramah is like the Mogen Avram. You need Leinen Tzana L'gamra by Dova Gush also. What's the whole idea of Oida B'yodah V'day T'lahachzir? That I say that my putting it back on top of the fire is a hemshech from the Shia from before. It's not called a Nesini Mechadosh. How can you consider it a hemshech if it cooled down to room temperature? It's mamash a Nesini Mechadosh. We understand the Ramah very well. So now the Re explains on Lamed Zayinim and Aleph that Rav is just saying another condition. You have to have that you're putting it back al-gabov, on top of the stove. If you took it out of, if you took it either out of the oven and you're going to put it back in, or you took it from on top of the stove and now you're going to put it back in, let's just parenthetically, this din of Hachazorah. Let's say I took off a kettle of water and I poured a cup of tea, a coffee, now I want to put it back on. It's only mutter to put it back on top of my fire. What if my fire went out? So the din is you're permitted to take the kettle of water from on top of your blech and go to the next the neighbor's house and put it on top of his blech also. It doesn't necessarily have to be dafke to return it back to the same fire where it was originally before. That's with more of a fairish. It says if you have shtei kiras hamasimas, two kiras that are twin, that are ta'omas, that are touching, connected with each other, one is grufa ktuma, one is not. So you're not allowed to take from one, put it on top of the other one, which is not grufa ktuma. Well, if they'll both be Grufa Ktumah, so it's Mefarish, that it's permissible. You can put back on top of another one. So that's only, the Gemara says, Bamidbar Mamurim, if I'm putting it on top of a stove. But to take either from inside the oven or to take from on top of the stove, take it off. And then to put it back inside the oven, that's where Rav says, that's always, by definition, that's always labeled as an Asin HaMifadish. That's too noticeable, too conspicuous. That originally I was holding it outside of the oven, now I put it inside the oven, it's still covered up. So that's not called a Hemshech from before. That by definition, whenever you put a Hachzor El Tocho, by definition that's called an Asin HaMifadish. You can never consider that a Hemshech from before. So that's what the Re learns pshat in Rav's member, that it's another condition in determining. The one condition is Ayda V'yod, the second condition is Ayda L'hachsa, the Ramah has the third condition, these are all shiurim to determine that it's a hemshach from before and it's not an sinim mechadosh. I don't call it hachzor, I call it shi'iyah. It's muta because I label it a shi'iyah. So Rav says it's only called the hemshach from before if it's al gabov, if you're going to put something al tocha tanur, tocha kira, that's not a hemshach from before. So what's the story with the Gruf Oktumo? So we had already Rashi on the Mishnah learns very strange pshat. Rashi, the Rishonim have a great difficulty with the Rashi. We don't understand what he means. Rashi says that the problem in the Mishnah is that you have Moshe Hevel. Rashi seems to learn as if our perik is dealing with Atman and Bibod Yom, but Dabra Moshev Hevel, and the group of Tumah is Mitzanein the Gecholim. That's what Rashi writes. You put the Efer al Gabiyah Gecholim lechatosam ulitanonom, and to cool them off, it's no longer going to be Moshev Hevel. So Tosef says, how can that be? The Gecholim, which are covered over by Efer, are more Moshev Hevel than all of the things in perik Bamet Omnim. It lists off all kinds of funny things that are considered Moshev Hevel, because they're combustible. But this is not Mamish Moshev Hevel. These are Gecholim. So we don't understand Rashi. We assume that the topic we're discussing is not at all Hatzmoneh. So it's not Mutman Kula. You're not covering over the whole thing. We're talking about Shia and Hachazar. It's a different dish. So what is the accomplishment of Grufa Ktuma? So we have followed the Ran. The Grufa Ktuma means that it's a Hecker. So that's the way we understand the din on the bottom of the daf. On the last line, on Lamed Zayin and Aleph, the Gemara quotes Amar Boshia, Kitma. Kitma means it's the Balabas put. Kitma, Kuftes, Mem, Aleph, is the Aramaic word for ashes. Kitma, with a hay at the end, means he put ashes in the Kira. This is Rabbi Moshe Einstatter. Many people know who he is. A good friend of mine for many years. He comes to the yeshiva for a stock, a special stock deal.
We come twice a year to the yeshiva for many, many years. Before Purim, we distribute to some over 400 families in Israel. We increase the families from time to time. You know that there are many poverty-stricken people there. The need is now greater than it was before, and there are other families we'd like to contribute to that we can't because we've spread ourselves too thin. These are really poverty-stricken people. Now the government has withdrawn the money of its subsidies, and they're worse off than they were before. The reason I've come here for many years is for two reasons. Number one, we check out these families for their needs. From time to time, periodically, we check. The larger families get larger stipends, and the smaller ones get smaller stipends. If their needs change, we distribute accordingly. The money is distributed in Eretz Yisrael towards the afternoon, which is after sunrise here. So you're Yotzei Matonas Levyonim. We make sure that everyone is Yotzei Matonas Levyonim. In addition to all this, it's honest, and there's no overhead whatsoever. Everyone involved in this is Lashem Shemayim. Now one single cent is given off for any expenses. The only thing that we have to incur is the cost in exchanging the money when it's wired into shkolim. And there's a Magid Shem Yisrael Chona that covers all of that too. He's done so until now, I hope he'll continue to do so. So it's an honest tzedakah for people who are really poverty stricken. And I feel, I myself, and I imagine you too, you want to give tzedakah, you like to give it to people, you hope that they'll get some of it, or most of it. Here you get all of it. we are not in a situation. I give shurim there 3 times a year. I've seen what some of these families live like. You wouldn't believe the conditions under which some of these people live. And we are in a land of plenty. We're affluent. All of us are, relatively or absolutely. And we should help these people out. They need the money. So I ask you to whatever you can now. If you know someone's interested, and get to Rabbi Shachter. He calls me up, Motzoi Tanis Esther, which will be Erev Shabbos this year. And whatever is committed at that time, we have funds in there to throw, we lay them out. A check can be made out to congregation to Tfilah, that's my shul, for tax purposes, we exchange it. So gentlemen, whatever you can do now, please do. Whatever any of your friends can do, please do too. It's one of the best of all the time.
If anyone wants to give checks, they can give me the check and I'll mail it after Purim. I'll call up Rabbi Einstein on Purim.
Yes, also.
Yes, also. If you want. Okay. So again, so we don't learn like Rashi. Rashi learns that the Guf of Tumah Kitma, putting on the ashes accomplishes Litzanein Itagaholim, to pull off the Gaholim. We don't assume like Rashi. We assume, like the Ran explains on the side of the Rif, that the Gruf of Tumah serves as a hecker to remind me not to fool around. So we understand the bottom line on Daf Lam is Zayinim and Aleph. Kitmo the Huvarua, Hu Katamo So. He put Kitmo, he put ashes on his Kira. Kitmo the Huvarua, if he put the ashes on, and that serves as a hecker because he looks at the coals and he sees that they're not, the flames are not jumping up, the ashes are there, then half an hour later, all the flames are jumping up, and it looks like kilohayu. Looks as if by us it never happens. We put a blech on. So what can happen? What, the blech is going to melt? The blech doesn't melt. But over here, what happened was the blech melted. He put on ashes, and the ashes disappeared. So even though they disappeared, when he wants to do the hachazara, or when he continues to do the shehiyah, so the din is that that's acceptable since he put a heker on erev Shabbos. Even though the hecker disappeared, the accomplishment of the hecker remains. That's what the Gemara says, a big chiddush. Shani hacha de kitma. Ma'alameim huver itzachalem. Ma'alameim kibin huver ahodjul ala milsa kamaisa. If the flames jump up again, so there's no more kitma. So kamash malon, it's a very big chiddush. That even though huvara, it still has retained the heter of grufa k'tuma. On the top of Daf Lamed Ches Amid Aleph Tesis quotes the Gemara. The top Tesis on Lamed Ches quotes the Gemara from the first Perek, Perakama Daf Yud Ches Amid Beis, that Kidei Rechaiso doesn't need a blech. Kidei Rechaiso means if you have a Kidera that has raw piece of meat in it, that even if you'll be Mechate B'Gecholim all night long, that raw piece of meat will not be ready for tonight. And even if you won't be machat to be gecholim at all, the raw piece of meat will be ready for tomorrow morning. So he can't eat it tonight, ben kovako, and tomorrow morning it'll be roi lachila ben kovako. So therefore, the Gemara says, in such a case, there's no need for gruf of tumah. It's permissible to leave it on top of the fire without a blech. Why? Because the whole prohibition of shehiyah is gzeirish em yechate. But by the Kedera Chaisa, since you have this raw piece of meat, right before Shabbos puts in a raw piece of meat. Meat, in order to cook, Bisra the Torah takes a long time to cook. different. Sometimes you have vegetables, sometimes things take, oatmeal cereal. If it's half prepared, it takes 2 minutes. What do they call it? 2 minute oatmeal cereal. So it's half cooked already in the factory. And sometimes you have something that needs 5-6 hours to cook. It's not going to be ready for tonight, even if he will be mechater. And it will be ready for tomorrow morning, even if he won't be mechater. So that's the heter of kidei rechais. New York years ago, there was a big posik before Rav Moshe Feinstein became popular. There was a famous posik by the name of Rabbi Henkin. He used to run the Ezra's Third Duck organization in New York. So he wrote in his sefer that he doesn't think that this heter of kidei rechais applies this manner. Because we don't have such a thing. What do you mean? You have an oven that you can put in meat and it won't be ready for tonight? Of course it'll be ready. You make the fire. Sometimes you make the fire too high, you'll burn. You burn the meat. It's not that it's going to get cooked faster. But if you make the fire a little high, so it'll be ready for tonight. What should I? It takes 6 hours to cook a roast. It'll be, if you raise the heat in the oven, so the roast will be ready in 2 hours. No. So how long? The husband comes home, let's say a Shabbos comes in. The husband is going to daven in shul. So until he comes home, until he sings miris, until he says Shalom Aleichem and Eishes Chayil, until he says Kiddush, it takes a long time. And you don't serve the roast, the first course in the meal. You have other things also in the meal. You sing a lot of miris. So the meat can be ready in 2 hours. What's right to this to say today that there's no... What's right to say today that there's a derech aysa, that as much as you'll be mechate b'gecholim, it won't be ready anyway for tonight. We don't have such a thing. So Leitchik also thought like that. He thought that he was right, that the heterok derech aysa doesn't apply bismanazah. Okay. The Gemara has an Ibaya on the last line on Lamed Zayin on the base. Bo minim rabchiya barabba. He asked the question: what's the din if a person went ahead and he violated this din? Shochach kedera gabikira bishle b'shabbes. We know that there is a Mishnah in Terumis that the Gemara quotes on the third line. The Mishnah has a machlekes hatanoi machlekes ramei rabbiuda. Whether konsu shogu gato meizer alo konsu shogu gato meizer. That's a big sugi in Gittin Dafnun Gimel. See on the Masoros Hashas on the right hand margin on Lamed Tesem and Aleph, the first long note is a long list of Marmakaimis. It's a Tosefta Peregimel in Maseches Shabbos, but it's a Mishnah Trumas, Pereg based Mishnah Gimel. That's the more important of the two sources. A Mishnah is more important than a Tosefta. How come the Mishnah Trumas is in brackets and the rest are not in brackets? If you read the first page on the Gemara, so they tell you that the all the Mar Mekaymas in the Masoros HaShas were prepared by one person, the same one who gave us the Mar Mekaymas of Dayan Mishpat Ner Mitzvah, and the same one who did the work on the Torah Or. He gives you all the cross references. He gives you all the cross references in Shas also. And whatever appears in brackets, that was added on by a later. It says the original one who did it was by Rabbi Yeshua Boaz. He's the one who did the work on the Shulti Gibarim. He's the author of the Shulti Gibarim. Much of the Shulti Gibarim is quotation. So that he just excerpted from the other Svarim. And once in a while he writes something on his own. And whatever appears in brackets, it says that's by Rabbi Shai Berlin, who was a contemporary of the Nadi Behuda, generations later. The Shulti Gibarim was before the Ramah. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch quotes the Shulti Gibarim once in a while. And Rabbi Shai picked Berlin was later. He was in the Nadi Behuda, 200 years after the Ramah. Way later. So I'll call upon him. The more important Mar Mokim here is the Mishnah and Trumas. I guess the Masoros HaShas forgot about that, so he just wrote the others, and Rabbi Shai Berlin added on the Mar Mokim to the Mishnah. So the Gemara in Gittin Daf Nun Gimel has a machlokes Rab Meir Rab Yehuda in many cases where the Kontu Shogot to Meizid, whatever Chachamim introduced the penalty, but they say Kontu Shogot to Meizid or Lo Kontu Shogot. It's not really fair to penalize a person who violated the Aver B'Shogot. He made a mistake, he didn't know. If the person violated the Aver B'Meizid, so you understand that it makes sense to penalize him. Why should you say Kontu Shogot to Meizid? That's a question, a psychological question. Does it make... Maybe we have to be concerned that the guy's going to make it look like an accident, so maybe we should penalize Shogot to Meizid at all. So that's a machlokes Amir Rabbi Yehuda. And Gemara says there's a possibility to distinguish between Dinim Deraita and Dinim Derabbanan. Possibility in either direction. There's one side to say that the Dinim Deraita should be more chomer than the Dinim Derabbanan. There should be greater penalties. So you violated a Mohammed the Geese. On the other hand, you can say, a din deraisa doesn't need chizuk. What are you afraid? The guy's going to do it, b'shogeg, make it look like an accident. To violate an Issa deraisa, people will be more careful. To violate an Issa de Rabbanan, it's only the Rabbanan anyway. That's the people's attitude. So that they'll violate the maid and make it look like an accident. And maybe it makes sense over there. Dibrei Ter from Tzrichim Chizuk, Dibrei Ter Eden Tzrichim Chizuk. That's how the Gemara has an expression in Masechet Tainus. That sometimes Dinim Derabbanan need more Chizuk than Dinim Deraisa, because the Din Deraisa that people are going to observe. The Dinim Derabbanan people are going to be Mezalzalan. So the Gemara has this in Gitz Nun Gimel, the possibility, this direction, that direction, because they had theories between Rab Meir and theories between Rab Yudah. So they said all these possibilities. Okay. One of the cases, I'll mention it because it's going to be relevant soon, later on the daf. One of the cases that the Gemara has there, the Gemara has a whole series of cases. A person does Malach and Chalamoy that he has no hetter to do. So there's a penalty in the Rabbanon. What else is the case? A person does Anateh B'Shviyas. A fellow plants a tree during the Shnas HaShmita, which is an Iser. So we make a penalty, he's not allowed to get on there. Many different cases. So one of the cases is a man marries a woman, Be'Iser. He marries Muberes Chavera, Menekes Chavera. A woman was divorced, a woman was widowed, the husband died or divorced her, and she's nursing a baby, or she's pregnant with a baby from the first husband. So you're not allowed to marry such a woman until the baby is 2 years old. Dinim Shulchan Aruch about that. So what if a person goes ahead and he violates that din? So we penalize him, he has to get divorced from the woman, not just to be Porish, not to live together, he has to get divorced. And even if it turns out that he's a kain by divorcing her, let's say she was an almana from the first husband. Not that if she's a grusha, so he's not allowed to marry her anyway. Let's say she's an almana from the first husband, and the second husband marries her as a kain. And by telling him you have to get divorced, it means that he loses this shidduch. He loses the wife. So the Gemara says, tough luck. So he lost it. He violated the din. So he penalized him. So the Gemara has a discussion. What about Kuntzu Shogot Amazit? What if he didn't know the din? What if he didn't realize that he's not supposed to marry the woman? So there's a whole discussion. So one of the many cases that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya, all the cases are quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, but this is a more popular case. One of the many cases is Eim Avatlan Isa Lechatchila. There is a prohibition. It's a question whether it's a biblical prohibition or it's a rabbinical prohibition. There is a din that Eim Avatlan Isa Lechatchila. You're not allowed to pour in, let's say I'm cooking a soup. I'm going to pour in a little chazer shmalt, knowing in advance that I have shishim against the chazer shmalt. So what do I accomplish if you have shishim against it? Why is it bottled? Because it doesn't give in the sinas tam. So why did he pour the chazer shmalt in? If he wants to give his mother a heart attack. He wants to give his wife a heart attack. So he shows it. You see? Here's the chazer shmalt. He's pouring it in. Okay. So what's the din? A person went ahead. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to be involved in this from Hatzila. What if he went ahead and he mixes it in on purpose? So there's a penalty, but the Eved, he's not allowed to eat it. But other people are allowed to eat it. But the Gemara says, not only is it forbidden for me to eat, it's also forbidden l'misha nasa b'shvilo. It's forbidden if I mixed in the chazer shmalz, knowing that this soup is going to be eaten by the members of the family, so the misha nasa b'shvilo also. We penalize them. They're not allowed to eat it either. Here by Hamavashel, the Shabbos, sometimes the halacha distinguishes between the one who did the malacha, one who does the malacha on Shabbos, and the Shulchan Aruch says, lav davka Hamavashel, who adinami any malacha, if a person turns on a light. So we're going to discuss the topic, are you permitted to get hanor from light? Are you allowed to read the Oran there? If a Jew turned on the light. So we're going to discuss, was it the Shogig, was it the Mezid, are we talking about the person that lit the candle, he's not allowed to get on, we're talking about a stranger. So there are a lot of details over here. So the Beis Yosef has the Magen Avraham has a machlokes with the Beis Yosef. Can we make a comparison? The Gemara in Gittin puts these all together on the same daf, on Nun Gimel. So whole blot Gemara goes on and on and on, comparing all the different knosses. So the Beis Yosef and the Magen Avraham have a machlokes whether this part is carried over also by Eim Avatlan Isa Lechatchila Vim Bitel Asa Lo Olamisha Nasa Bishvilo. Not only is there a penalty that the one who did the act of Bitel is not allowed to get on the other one on whose behalf it was done is also not allowed to eat the food. So what about by Hamavashel B'Shabbos? Will we distinguish between Asa Lo and Mutal Acherim? What about the Olamisha Nasa Bishvilo? Does the Misha Nasa B'Shvila have the same din as the Mevashel B'Shabbos, as the Bala Maloche, just like by Eim about the Nisla Chatzila? Maybe I should say no. Maybe over here, only the one who actually did the Maloche has the penalty. The one who didn't do the Maloche doesn't have a penalty. So that's a Machlekes Achrayim. Then there's a further machlokes in Yeridei and Siman Tzadik Tes when the Shulchan Aruch talks about this din. So there it says that it's not only is there a penalty, also lo ilomis, it's also the mishan asa b'shvilo. So there's a further machlokes Rabbi Kivega points out on the bottom of the page of the Yeridei. So you say mishan asa b'shvilo means I had someone specific in mind. I was preparing this stoop for the Bnei HaBayis, for the members of my family. What if I'm working in a restaurant? I prepared this soup for whoever will come to serve today as a customer. I don't know, I have no idea who's going to come today. And then someone comes. Is that called Mishan Asa B'Shvilo? Or do you say no? It's only if you had a specific person, a group of people in mind. If it just happens to be, I have in mind a customer, and then a customer comes, I don't know in advance who the customer is going to be. Maybe anybody. So is that called Mishan Asa B'Shvilo? So the Taz says yes. That is called Mishan Asa B'Shvilo. That's the way it's usually assumed. Rabbi Kivega quotes some early Rachmanim, I think a Rivosh or someone who disagrees, says no. So we assume that that is called Mishan Asa B'Shvilo. Why should one distinguish between Hamavashal, the penalty Hamavashal B'Shabbos, the Mishan Asa B'Shvilo should not be the same as the person himself who did the act of Bishul, as opposed to Hamavashal B'Shvilo Hatzchila, that there it says the Feirish of the Gemara, it's also lo, the Mishan Asa B'Shvilo. Why should I distinguish? Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying over a comment from his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, which Al Pi Pashtus is against the whole Gemara in Git. Al Pi Pashtus against the Gemara. He said Asvara. If you don't look in the Gemara, just look in Shulchan Aruch. So this is Asvara that runs as follows. Let's say I have a dog, and I want to feed the dog some food. So I have to give blood kosher meat to the dog. I can buy nevela. It doesn't have to be kosher at all. The dog is not Jewish. So I can give him the vela food. I can give him the vela meat, much less expensive. So let's say I have some old leftover kosher meat, and I buy some nevela meat, and I put them all on the tray together, and then I turn away for a minute. Now when I turn back again, I don't remember which piece is which. And I put two pieces of kosher meat on the tray for the dog, and one piece of nevela meat, a tray for meat, and I can't identify which is which. So you're going to tell me that that's a violation of Eim Avat and Isra L'Hatzchila, because the one Isra of Nevela became one piece of Nevela meat became bottle and the two pieces of kosher meat. So that's a violation of Eim Avat and Isra L'Hatzchila. So the Tshuva's Pnei Yeshua, I think it's by the Pnei Yeshua's grandfather. The Pnei Yeshua that we use, his grandfather wrote the Shalos Tshuva's Pnei Yeshua. So the Shalos Tshuva's Pnei Yeshua where he writes a double Pasha that's Muta. A double Pasha that's Muta. Why? He says, because you don't gain anything. The whole din of Eim Avat and Isra L'Hatzchila means if you're going to have a Jew eat it. So now you're gaining. Now you have three pieces of kosher meat. Instead of having two pieces of kosher meat, now you have three. Someone's going to eat the whole pot of soup. So not only do you have the kosher soup, I added on a non-kosher ingredient, so that also became kosher. It became bottled beret. But when you're feeding all the food to the dog, so it doesn't make a difference whether you give the dog kosher food or nevela food. So since it's L'mala V'lamor, so that's not called a violation. You're allowed to do it l'hatzchila. You're allowed to mix in l'hatzchila, the kosher with the non-kosher, knowing in advance that the proportion of the kosher to the non-kosher is that the kosher is the robe, and the non-kosher is the miut, and you don't know what's what, and it's all going to be a buckle and a mevutel. So what? You're not gaining anything. The only time I say you're not allowed to be mevutel is if you plan to gain something by it. So that's where Moshe Soloveitchik said, we understand. He suggested that a mevatel and isra l'chatzchila is only violated if ultimately someone's going to eat it. So the Chachamim say, if you mixed in an isra, if you violated a mevatel and isra l'chatzchila, so they make a penalty, don't eat it. That's not a penalty. That's an etzah teiva. They tell you, don't eat it, so it'll turn out that it was irrelevant. The whole mixing in of the non-kosher food is irrelevant. That's a way to avoid having violated out there. You mixed in the treifas into the kosher, intending to eat everything, and you plan to violate this avera of Eim Avat and Isra L'Hatzchila. So the Chachamim say, don't eat it. So it'll turn out that the whole act of bitul was irrelevant. If someone else eats it, that's not a problem. When I mixed it in, I didn't intend for him. So that's not, you don't say that if he's going to eat it, it's going to turn out that I did accomplish something right. I didn't have him in mind. So there we understand very well, that's our Moshe Soloveitchik suggests, that they're going to get to the penalty. He says he's trying to say it's not really a penalty, it's not really a knas. The difficulty with this is the Gemara Gitna is a whole sukkah, a whole lot Gemara. The whole thing, everything is a knas. On the Teah B'Shvi'is, we make a knas. You do malach and chala moed and make a knas. You marry moberes chaver and mekes chaver and make a knas. Ain't about the nishal chapsila. Everything is a knas. Somebody was mitamim and damim and asa. Somebody made a hezik shein and nika on someone else's property, so we make a knas. So do we cancel b'shoigig or do we only cancel b'mezit? So the Gemara has one sugi, everything all mixed in together. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that the din midirabbanan, that you're not allowed to eat the food if they mixed in the isser, that's a penalty. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik is trying to say a svara that it's not so much a penalty. It's not a knas because you did an avera. The Chachamim are telling you, don't eat it, so it'll come out that the whole act of bittul was irrelevant. If it's irrelevant, it'll come out that there was no avera. That's going to spare you from having violated the avera. So not only is it not permissible for you to eat it, because by your eating it, that'll cause it to turn out l'mafreya that your act of mixing in was a violation of Eim Avat Nisim L'Chatzila. If Misha Nasa Bishvilo is going to eat it, so it'll also come out that you're gaining benefit. That's exactly what you had in mind in the beginning when you mixed in the Yisr, that someone should eat it. So if the Misha Nasa Bishvilo should eat it, so then it's going to turn out that it was an Yisr of Eim Avat Nisim in the first place. But if it's not Misha Nasa Bishvilo, a stranger is going to eat it, that didn't happen in mind, so that's considered as if I'm not really gaining out of my act of bittul. So that's what he tainted. That svara, Mishanasa Bishvila, has the same status as the one who mixed it in. He thought that's only relevant when it gets to the din of Eim Avat Nisal HaTzchila. So the Yisr, the Yevit over there, is not so much a penalty. If you're talking about a penalty, you give a penalty to the one who did the sin. Why should you penalize someone else? Why should you say, Hamavashul, the Shabbos, the Mishanasa Bishvila is not allowed to eat it. But he didn't do the malacha. I did the malacha. I'm the Shegis. So that's what the... That's how Rav Moshe Soloveitchik explained the Beis Yosef. Why we should distinguish between. Beis Yosef thinks that it's not the same. Mishan Asa B'Shvila should only apply there in Yeridesim and Tzarek Tes, Vayim Abat and Isma Chatzila should not apply in Hilchot Shabbos. The Mogen Avraham thinks that it should be the same, that you should equate the two. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's svara was that the Iser B'Dievid, to eat the food on Shabbos, is a knas. You only penalize the Baal Averet. You don't penalize the Mishan Asa B'Shvila. He didn't do the Chilul Shabbos. But the prohibition against eating the food that was aimed about the Nisal Hatzila, that's not so much as a penalty, that's in order to undo the Isser, in order to prevent the one who mixed it in from having sort of being considered as if he violated the Isser. So whenever you're not going to gain from the act of bittul, so then there's no violation of the Isser. So he said, Mishanasa Bishmilo, if he's going to eat it, then it's going to turn out that I did gain. That was my whole intention in the first place. So b'kitzur, there is a machlokes hatanoim. I'm a bashal b'shabes b'shoygig yochel b'mezid lo yochel. That's the first time it says that lo kanzu shog got to mezid, and then the Mishnah proceeds to quote that it's a machlokes Ramei Reb Yehuda. Yeah, there's a shaila how he's supposed to paskin. Normally in Psak Halacha we have a rule Ramei Reb Yehuda Halachik Reb Yehuda. Usually there are exceptions in the generation of the Amoraim, in a certain generation, at one point in the Amoraim, when they were deciding what the Psak Halacha should be, so they voted on each case, it turned down, and Ruba, the Ruba of the cases, whenever there's a Machlech Zameh Rav Yehuda, they would always pass like Rameh Rav Yehuda, Halachic Rav Yehuda. In rare cases, the Gemara has that they voted Halachic Rameh, the majority of the consensus voted Halachic Rameh. So here there's a question, the Gemara says, one of the sources where this appears is in Chulan Daf Tezvov. So the Gemara says that Rav came to Bovel, Rav Iklal of Bovel, and Rav was one of the students of Rav Yehuda Nasi, Rav Shmuel, many Amoraim, first generation of Amoraim. So they went to Bovel and they opened up, each one went to a different community. Bovel opened up a yeshiva, they tried to be Marbitz Torah Baram, they tried to get the people to be more medactic in mitzvah. So the Gemara tells in different places, in Chulin, in other mesichtas, that when Rav Iklal above all, the people were terrible amaratzim. The people were violating basa b'chol of their eisa. They were cooking meat with milk. He overheard one woman ask her next door neighbor, how much milk do you pour in for so much meat? Mamash basa b'chol of their eisa. They didn't know Shabbos, they didn't know Yom Tov, Chalamoy, they didn't know anything. They were violating everything. That's what the Gemara says, that Rav came to Bavel, and the Gemara in the end of Taina says, and he overheard the way they were in Shul on Rosh Chodesh, the first Rosh Chodesh, he overheard the way they were about to say Halal. So he said, there they go again. He never heard of this. Halalam Ashkhari, what are they, crazy? Something new. And then the Chazan started to skip in the middle. He was walking towards the Chazan to tell him, Sova Lasakin. He's going to tell the Chazan, today's Rosh Chodesh is not Yom Tov, you don't say Hal. Then he walked towards the Chazan, and the Chazan skipped a little bit. He said, Chatzi Halal. So he realized there must be some minig over here, some new fangled minig that he never heard of. All the years, Rav is an adult. He never heard of this meeting in Eretz. It's a meeting that started in Bava. So he thought that was also an Amarat. He thought that everything was Amarat is there in Bava. So the Gemara says that this machlokes, but it comes to Shogat Amazir. So the Gemara says, Rav for his Talmidim Paskin Lahokin. That lo comes to Shogat Amazir. Like it says here, Bashal Bishoigig Yechel. You're permitted to eat. Only Bemezid Lo Yechel. For the Balabatim, he Paskin Lahumer. Because he felt the Balabatim are so mezalzal on Shabbos, they don't know anything. They're such amiratzim, so you have to pile on more chumris in order to get them to be more observant. So that's what Tosis and the other Rishonim have a pilpul. What status do we have? We are not, Tosis thinks, we are not on the level of Rav students. They were Hamaroim, but we're not on the low level of Rav's Balabatim. We're not cooking Basa B'cholot. We're not being Mechal Shabbos. So we're somewhere in between. So that's a Machlokes, Tosis and the Rambam, what the Psak Halacha should be. So we paskin hokel over here because we're not such amaratim like Rav's Balabatim, or should we paskin lachmi because we're not on the high level of Rav's students? The psak halacha really should be that lo kontu shogot the mezid. That's what you see from that gemara chulam daftez ba. For his talmidim, he paskin the real din. The real din is that lo kontu shogot the mezid. And for the Balabatim, he made sort of a hayru ashur. So that's the question: how long does that hayru ashur go on? Does it still apply to everybody who's managed there because we're not on the high level of Rav Talmidim, who follow the real din, that b'sheigig, there's no penalty? But he say, no, that is a hirasha only for his Balabatim. They were so unlearned, and they were so mezalzal in the laws of Shabbos, so they needed the hirasha. It doesn't apply to them. It's a shine on other areas of Halacha also. The Gemara has later in Masechah Shabbos about the Kvura and Yontif, the Radinim that you're permitted to do a Kvura and Yontif Rishon, Aydei Nachrim, and Kvura and Yontif Sheni, Aydei Yisrael. So the Gemara says, but if you live in a city where they're all Amaratim, the rabbi should not allow that, because the Balabatim will go wild and they'll just be Mechal Shabbos. Like here in New York for many, many years, I remember. When I was growing up, they used to have the people dying every day of the year. Someone dies every day. So I remember, I used to walk to funerals on Yom Tov. So everybody would drive to the funerals, and then they would drive to they wouldn't walk. And the people would obviously have made telephone calls, and people came from out of town. There was Chilul Shabbos, Chilul Yom Tov all the time. And then the Agudas Rabbanim made an issue. You're not allowed to have any funerals, not on Yom Tov Rishon, not on Yom Tov Sheni, because they saw everybody's doing malacha on Yom Tov. So most of the communities in New York followed that takana of the Agudas Rabbanim, because everybody saw that they're being mezalzal in the laws of Yom Tov. So that's Tosfos has that discussion also. In the days of the Gemara, they said regarding a certain city, Besker, that Bnei Besker ain't a Minei Torah. You can't allow such a heter that we should allow them to do a kvura on Yom Tov Rishon. Yom Tov Sheni is just going to cause a lot of chilul Yom Tov. So Tosfos has the shaila. What about Bizman Hazeh? We're not on the same low level as Bnei Besker, but we're not on the same high level as the people in the days of the Gemara. So that's a discussion. So that's such a similar. So the Mishnah Brura raises this issue. What's Taka the Din over here? Should we paskin that b'shogeg there's no penalty at all? B'shogeg yoichal? Or should we paskin that kontu shogot amazing? The Mishnah Brura always throws a sin to be mitzadet lahakal, that there are some Rishonim who paskin like this Tana, like Rav paskin for his Talmidim, that b'shogeg yoichal olam yamezid lo yoichal. Then there are some Rishonim who raise the possibility that by hoitzor there's no penalty at all. Hoitzor is a malacha grua. You don't really create a new object. By the other malachas, you make something new. But by hoitzor, you're not creating a new object. We had a mishnah. If the nochri drew water for his behemah, and there's leftover water, you can drink it. But if the nochri drew water for you, where was that mishnah? Kufcha beis amen alfi. We just learned it. Milei maim lahashkes behemto. So that's talking about a nochri who did a malacha. What if it be a Jew who did a malacha of hoitzor? Is there a penalty or not? So we usually assume the same thing. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes Rishonim say not necessarily the same. There's room to distinguish between hoitzor as opposed to the other 38 malachas. Then the other 38 malachas where you create something new, so there is a penalty. But hoitzor just moved it from one place to the other. Maybe there's no penalty over there. So the Mishnah Berurah wants to be mitzadeh. What if someone violated hoitzor b'shogeg? So it's like a sex fake. Maybe the din is that b'shogeg yoichal. Maybe there's no penalty b'chlal b'shogeg. And even if you pass like the Rishonim that b'shogeg, there is a penalty. Comes to show got to maze it like Rav's Balabatim, not like Rav's Talmidim. So maybe the Ritvor, maybe the Rashbon, the Ritvor, right, that there's no penalty b'chlal b'la hoitzor. So this is the Bir Halacha tries to raise new possibilities. Just read the Shulchan Aruch, you know. If you would just read the Shulchan Aruch with the Magen Avraham, you would never dream of this in a million years. But the Bir Halacha already did research. So he was Mitzad Lohakal over here in certain cases. So the Gemara wants to know, what's the din if a person violated Shehiyah? Shochach Kedera Gabi Kira Ubishla B'Shabbos. It's not an Issa Deraisa. Hamavashal B'Shabbos means that he did a Melocha Deraisa on Shabbos. Does the penalty of Hamavashal B'Shabbos B'Mezli Gloyoch, does the penalty only apply if he violated the Melocha Deraisa? What if he only violated the Melocha Derabbanon? So this din of Hamavashal B'Shabbos, the original source is the Mishnah and Trumas. What's it doing in Trumas? Because Mishnah says in Trumas, you're not permitted to be Mafresh Trumas and Maisris. B'Shabbos of the Yontav, that's the Mishnah in the end of Beitzah, but earlier than Beitzah is Roim. Trumas comes first. So in Trumas, Perek Beis, Mishnah Gimel, it says you're not permitted to be Mafresh Trumas and Maisris, B'Shabbos of the Yontav. And if you did, there's a penalty in the Rabbanim, you're not allowed to eat the Chulam Sukkanim. You have to wait till after Shabbos. So you see that even though Ein Magbiim Trumas and Maisis, B'Shabbos of Yontav is only a Nisa Derabbanan, it's not a Nisa Deraisa, there still is a penalty of the Rabbanan and Hamavashal B'Shabbos. Yeah, that's a question. What's the nature of that prohibition of Ein Magbiim Trumas and Maisis, B'Shabbos of Yontav? Is that a Malachim of the Rabbanan or is that a Gzerim of the Rabbanan? We distinguish every so often between a Malachim of the Rabbanan and a Gzerim of the Rabbanan. So the Rambam quotes, the Rambam is quoting Gemara. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Shabbos that there are two reasons why we forbid Ein Mafrish and Trumas and Maisis B'Shabbos of Yontav. Number one, because it's Mekach HaMemkar, and it's a Gzeirah Shem Yechtav, Mekach HaMemkar, because before you Mafrish the Trumas and Maisis, all the food belongs to the farmer. And after he's Mafrish the Truma, Tekef Miyad belongs to Shevet Kuhuna. The moment he's Mafrish the Maisis Rishon, Tekef Miyad belongs to the Shevet Leviyah. So that's a violation. The Hafrash itself is a violation of Mekach HaMemkar. Mekach HaMemkar, we just discussed yesterday, Rabbi Kenega says Mekach HaMemkar and Shabbos Yontav is only Gzeirah. That's why he raises the possibility maybe one can be in violation of the Gzeirah Mekach HaMemkar, B'Shevi Al-Tasa. So one prohibition of Ein Mafrish and Trumas and Maisis is Mekach HaMemkar. It's only Gzeirah. The other reason why it's forbidden, the Rambam says, is because it's Mesakan Mona. In our Torah, it's only Mesakan Mona if it's a Mona, if it's a Kli. If it's Eichon, there's no Mesakan Mona. But with the Rabbana, they declare that this should be considered Mesakan Mona. So Mesakan Mona, that's a Malocha. So I wanted to prove, but my proof is not conclusive. I wanted to prove that the Mishnah says in Trumas, Peri-based Mishnah Gimel, that not only Hamabashal B'Shabbos is there a penalty for the Eved, even if one is Mafrish, Trumas and Maisis, B'Shabbos of the Yontav, we have the same Machleg Zameir Abyudit, where the Kansu Shogot amazed. We have the whole discussion. So you see that the penalty of Hamavashal B'Shabbos even applies to one is Mafrish, Trumas and Maisis, which is only a Derabbanan. Yeah, but the question is, how much of a Derabbanan is it? Is it a Malachim Rabbanan? Is it a Gzerim Derabbanan? So once you know that Rambam says that it's both. It is a Malachim Rabbanan. It's Mesakan Mon in addition to being Mekach HaMemkar. So you can't really prove conclusively from the Mishnah that the penalty of the Rabbanan even applies in an instance where the fellow only violated the Gzerah. Maybe the penalty of Hamavashal B'Shabbos B'Mezid Loyachal only applies if he violated either a Melocha Deraisa or Melocha Derabbanan. What if he did something that's forbidden on Shabbos and it's only a Gzerah? Maybe there's no penalty over there. You can't tell. So the Pashtus is, maybe that's exactly the Sufik Bomin Emra Pchia Barab. But what's the din? If a person violated Shehiyah, if the fellow violated Shehiyah, Shehiyah is only a Nisar Gzeirah. That's not a Malacha, even with the Rabbanan. If he only violated Shehiyah, maybe there's no penalty Bechlam. There's no source in the Mishnah. So that's what the Gemara says. Rabbi Rav Yosef Dam Chavad Lehet Teirah. What do you mean? Yes, the Shalom Rav Pchia Barab. What's the din if one violated Shehiyah? Is there a penalty in the Rabban? So he says the Mishnah distinguishes between Meshogeg and Memezid by Mevashel. Only over there, Mevashel is a difference in Meshogeg and Memezid. But over here, Loishna, there's no difference between Meshogeg and Memezid. What do you mean, in what direction is there no difference? The Rabbi Rav Yosef Dami Tavayu, Travayu Lehatera. Rabbi Rav Yosef, let's say both cases are Lehatera. Mevashel, who the Ovid Maisa, the Mezid Leyochel, Avahai, the Lord Ovid Maisa, Mezid Nami Yochel. What kind of expression is that? The Ovid Maisa versus the Lord Ovid Maisa? So the Pashtus in the Gemara means the Ovid Maisa means he violated the Malacha. Malacha always has to be Bekum V'yasei. The Lord Ovid Maisa means it's only a violation of a Gzeri. A Gzeri can be violated B'Shei Baal Tassi. So So perhaps that's what the Gemara means, the law called it. He didn't violate a malacha deraisa, nor did he violate a malacha derabbanan. He only violated gzeira. So if one violates gzeira on Shabbos, maybe there's no penalty bichlal. You don't have a penalty on every single time a person does something that's awesome. You always slap on a penalty. So maybe they never instituted a penalty if a person only violates gzeira. That's what the Beis Yosef in Hilchas Yontif quotes two biurim on the Yibaya of the Gemara, beginning of the second parak in Beitzin. Beginning of the second parak talks about the laws of Erev Tavshilin. When you have Yontif falls out on Erev Shabbos, you're only allowed to cook on Yontif for Shabbos if you made an Erev Tavshilin, which is only with the Rabbanim and Atar, it's permissible even without an Erev Tavshilin, but with the Rabbanim you're not allowed to cook. So then the Gemara has a Shaila and Yibaya the life Shita. What's the din if the fellow went ahead and he cooked without the benefit of an Erev Tavshilin? Here it says, this is in Beit Yudzayin and Beis also. That's the beginning of the second pair. This discussion. But what's the din if a person went ahead and he cooked on the Yontif for Shabbos without the benefit of the Erev Tavshilin? Do we introduce the penalty on that? So it's in the Bible of Pshita, so in Shulchan Aruch, Paskin, Sveka, the Rabbana Lekula. Since there's no Pshita on the Bible, Paskin, Lekula. What exactly was the Nekuda of the Sofek? So the Beis Yosef has a long arichas, he quotes the two biyurim. So the simple pshat, and the first pshat that he quotes is that the suffix of the Gemara was maybe the penalty was only hamavashel b'shabbos, and it doesn't apply to one who does an Isar on Yontif. They made a separate penalty on Chalamoy, they made a separate penalty on Shemitah, they made a separate penalty on Eimabat and Isar Lachatchila, they made a separate penalty on the Noisei Moberes Chaver, Merektes Chaver, different cases, and maybe they never made a penalty at all, and one of those in Yisra and Yom. So that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that the whole penalty of Hamarashal B'Shabbos only applies to Shabbos, it doesn't apply to Yom at all. So the other Pshat that Beis Yosef quotes from one of the side Rishonim, but it's a snazzy Pshat, the Mishkan is Yankov as a whole essay. He thinks he likes that better, the second Pshat better than the first Pshat. The second shot is, why should you distinguish between Yom Tov and Shabbos? If you make a penalty for Chol HaMoed, so how can you say that there's a penalty for Shabbos, penalty for Chol HaMoed, there's no penalty for Yom Tov? How can that be? So the pashtus is that Shabbos and Yom Tov should be the same thing. The Gemara Sofik was a different Sofik. Min HaTorah, it's permissible to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. And with the Rabbanim, they say you're not allowed to cook unless you make an Erev Tavshilin. So if you violate that Issa and you cook without an Erev Tavshilin, what have you violated? Have you violated the Nisar Malacha? Not really. You didn't fulfill the mitzvah, the takana de Rabbanan, to make an Erev Tavshilin. But even with the Rabbanan, you can't really say that he violated the Malacha. If it's mutter to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos, Minat Torah. So with the Rabbanan, it's also mutter. They said, you should make an Erev Tavshilin. Why? So the Gemara has two reasons what's involved. So one reason is, to be mechazik people, to remind people that you're not allowed to cook miyantav l'chol. So we don't even permit you to cook miyantav the Shabbos, kal v'chaymer. This will be mechazik v'din, that people will not cook miyantav l'chol. Because let's say if you have, the people go to work all week long and they have no time to cook their meals, on yantav they take off from work. So on yantav they'll sit and cook a whole day and prepare all the meals for chol. So to be mechazik, the prohibition of ein mevashlin, miyantav l'chol, so they made a gzera de rabbani. Not even allowed to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos unless they make an Erev Tavshilin. And there is no Erev Tavshilin to cook for Yom Tov for Chol. So this will be mechazik that prohibition. So if you say like that, it comes out that one who cooks on Yom Tov for Shabbos without having the benefit of having made an Erev Tavshilin, that's really violating a malacha. It's not even the rabbani. They didn't even violate a malacha. He violated the takana de rabbani. He was supposed to have made an Erev Tavshilin. Gemara has another reason. Gemara has a machlokes. Why did they institute Erev Tavshilin? Gemara says another reason is that he shouldn't forget and eat up all the food on Yontif. On Yontif, there's a mitzvah to have simcha, samachta b'chagecha. So we made a takana d'rabbanan. You should make an Erev Tavshilin before Shabbos that he shouldn't forget and eat up all the food on Yontif. We'll be left with nothing for Shabbos. So right there, what are you going to say? If he cooks on Yom Tov for Shabbos and he didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, so he's violating an Issur Malacha. No, it's just to be mechazik and he shouldn't eat up all the food. He'll be left with nothing for Shabbos. It's a different thing. It's like he violated a Takana de Rabbanan. He didn't fulfill a Takana Chacham. Takana Chacham was to be ma'or everybody, to remind everybody for XYZ, to remind people not to cook on Yom Tov for Chol, remind people to leave over some food on Yom Tov. So Shabbos shouldn't eat everything up on Yom Tov, so he violated the takana. So the Mishkan Es Yankiv thinks that second beer in the Beis Yosef is the better pshat. He thinks that that makes more sense. One who does malacha on Yontif, you have the same penalty on Yontif as you have for Shabbos. And he thinks that wasn't the Bible of Shita anymore, that you should ask her. You should say there is a penalty. The Gemara Zibai only was if he cooked on Yontif for Shabbos without having made an Erev Tavshilin, so he didn't even violate a malacha with the Rabbanan. He was in violation of a Takonas Chacham. So you could say that suffix in Maseches Beitza is similar to the suffix over here. Maybe that's the Gemara suffix over here. If one violated Shia, is there a penalty with the Rabbanan or not? Is there a penalty with the Eben? The Rabbi Rav Yosef Dami Chavayu, it makes sense that there should be no penalty. Why? Mabashal Hu Dekovit Maise means he did a Maise Melocha, whether a Melocha derais a Melocha de Rabbanan, there's a penalty. Aval Hai the Lo Kovit Maise, there's no penalty at all. He only violated a Gzera over here. Shia is a Gzera. It's not a Melocha even with the Rabbanan. It's an interesting idea that Rabbi Rav Yosef said. The Gemara, however, comes up with a tiyufta against them. The Gemara quotes of the Ferish story. Amar Abba, Amar Avkan, Amar Rabbi Tchila Hayam, and Basha B'Shab Shagir Meizid. Lo Yechol Badin Shachem Shabba Mashem Meizid. Yamim Shcheichem Anu Chalzu V'Kontzu Al Shachiyah. So the Gemara says that La'achar HaGzeira. Rabbi Rav Yosef lived way after the Gzeira. This Gzeira was Bizman Atanai. This Rav Chiya Bar Abba apparently was not aware of he was missing a little history. He didn't know that there was such a gzera the Rabban. He made a gzera the Feirish, like Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Li Yisura, that Bein B'Shogig Bein Memezid. We say that Hamavashal B'Shabbos B'Shogig Yechol. But over here, one who because Hamavashal is a real Issa Deraisi, but over here where he only violated Shehiya, so here we have to be mechazik the penalty. So we say over here, Kontu Shogdot Amazes. So the guy's going to make it look like an accident. So Lacharak Zera, it says, Beferis like Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Not like Rabbi Rav Yosef. And even Kodimak Zera also doesn't make any sense. Kodimak Zera, Rabbi Rav Yosef, Dami Chavai Lehetere. That Beim Shogig Beim Amazes, you may eat it. No, Kodimak Zera, it says Beferis. Betchilo Hayu Omrim Nedin used to be Kodimak Zera, Mevashal, Bisham, Shekham, Amazes, Goyachal, Behuadin, Lishokheya, for one who leaves Shehiya, one who does Shehiya. So you see that Rabbi Rav Yosef Ben Ganson washed up. So that's what the Gemara says, Kashin. Why don't they say Tiyufta? I don't know. They say Kashin. What they said is contradicted by the memory of Rav. Rav tells over the whole history that originally the Halacha distinguished between Mishogig and Amazig regarding one who violates Shia. And then later on they decided to penalize even Mishogig. So this is the Gemara starting from the left line on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. Bo minei b'rabchia b'rabba. What's it then if one violated Shehiya b'shogeg? So it comes out, a long story, comes out till the bottom, till about 10 lines from the bottom. Till iboiluhu ava b'shomai. So what's the maskana? That kodem akzera, the din was, we distinguish between b'shogeg and b'meiz and lachar akzera. At one point in history, they made akzera. And they said that Beim Shogig Beim Amazed we make a penalty. All of a sudden, now the Gemara wakes up again. Iboiluhu over the Shohamai. What if one violated Shehiya? Is there a penalty or not? Nikam Su Rabbanan, Aloy Kam Su Rabbanan. So what's the Shaila? We just said. Yes, we just said there is a penalty. Afila B'Shogig. What are they asking again? The same Shaila as before. So that's what Taisus asks. What's going on over here? So Taisus has a suggestion that this Iboilahu, this Shaila, the last 10 lines, is a Shaila that's not relevant to Halacha Lamaisa. The Shaila is only within Reb Yudin. That was, he had a Braisa before where they quoted the various Shitas. He said there were two Shitas in Tanaim and two Shitas in Amaroim. At what point do you say that you're permitted to leave food on the fire without a blech? So Hananya said after the point that Michael Ben Rusoi. And Rabbi Yechanan said, not correct, he doesn't accept the Tana Hananya, only after the point of Nizbashel Kol Tzark. Rabbi Shmuel Damit Shavai, only after the point of Mitztamik Veralo. Once you reach Mitztamik Veralo, then you don't need a blech. And Rabbi Yudah hold, even Mitztamik Veralo, you always need a blech. So what happens if a person violated B'mezid, a person violated the Din of Shehiya, in a case of Mitztamik Veralo, and he's going to eat the food. So the food was warmed up on Shabbos. The food warmed up on Shabbos without the benefit of a blech. So that was a so that the Gemara says if the food has been stomach veralo, you can't really consider that he's nanim amalecha Shabbos. Either food is warm now, before it was cold, now it's warm. That's not enough to be considered nanim amalecha Shabbos. If the food was a little bit raw, and now it became, by doing shahiyah, it became more tasty, it got more cooked, that's called nanim amalecha Shabbos. But it just warmed up a little bit, it's piping hot, steaming hot, that's not called nanim amalecha Shabbos. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara quoted Rabbi Isa, where there was a machlekes on there, Rabbi Yudah, what if the fellow has food that's mevushel called sarkoi, but by leaving it on the fire, violating shiyah, and he didn't put a blech, and he violated shiyah. Bein l'Rab Meir, bein l'Rab Yudah, that is a violation of shiyah. That's what they hold. He violated shiyah, and now the food tastes a little bit better than it tasted before, because now it's been stomach liyofelo. So that was machlekes Rabbi Yehudah and Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Yehudah said, you make a penalty even in such a case, even though it's already mevushel called sarkoi. But l'maisa, after his leaving it on the fire on Erev Shabbos, he violated shiyah. So now it's been stomach v'yofelo, it's even more geschmack, more tasty, all the schmaltz blended in, and it got softer, and it's falling apart, tastes even better. So that's called nanim amalecha Shabbos. And Rav Meir disagrees and says, no, it's only up until the point of cold sarkoi. Once it reached, let's see, what's the machlokes over here? If cold sarkoi, you're not allowed to leave it on the fire in Erev Shabbos. But if he did violate it, so it's yoichal. Then it doesn't make sense to make a penalty because that's not called nanim amalecha Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda is machmer even in that case. If it's been stomach v'yofelo, then it is called nanim amalecha Shabbos. Only if it's been stomach v'ralo, then it's not called nanim amalecha Shabbos. So we don't pass like this whole thing. Either we pass like Chananya, Tosis keeps on pushing, the top Tosis on Lamed Zayin, and the Tosis on Lamed Beis, Omer Rav Sheshes, Tosis keeps on pushing that we pass like Chananya. And even if you're not going to pass like Chananya, but you're going to pass like Rabbi Yechanan, it says that once you reach the point of this basher called sarkoi, so, or you're going to pass like Rabbi Shmuel, so it's never going to be also to leave it. Unless you all like Rabbi Shmuel, okay. But let's say Taisa says the whole issue is irrelevant. Taisa will be passed like Chananya. You mean if you don't pass like Chananya, you pass like Rabbi Yechanan. So once the food is already mevushel called sarkoi, so then there's no issur to leave it on top of the fire, even though it's going to be mitztamik v'yofelo. There isn't going to be any issur. But this, the Gemara here is going shaloi kalocha. This iboilu, the last 10 lines go shaloi kalocha. Rabbi Yudah holds that you're not allowed to do shahiyah on food, even though it's mevushel. Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Meir, they both told you're not allowed to do shahiyah on food, even though it's mitztamik v'ralo. You must always have a blech. And what happens if you violate the din of shahiyah on purpose and you left it on a fire and it's mevushel called tzarka, but it's been stomach v'yofelo? So that was machlek zamei Rabbi Yudah has a penalty. We pass when the whole thing is mutar lachatchila to leave it on a blech, but they hold it it's also to leave it on a blech. Rabbi Yudah makes a penalty. So now the Gemara has a suffix over v'shomai, it's a suffix shaloi kalocha. Taisa says the whole suffix is shaloi kalocha because alibi Rabbi Yudah afagabdein alochik Rabbi Yudah, we don't pass like Rabbi Yudah. The Gemara just wants to be invited. What would Rabbi Yudah say in this case? Rabbi Yudah says that if it's been samik v'yofelo, then it's called nanim amalecha Shabbos. Maybe that's only if he violated shehiya b'mezid. What if he violated shehiya b'shoigeh? So that's what Tosfos reads in the Gemara. Yiboilehu ovra v'shoha mai. Ovra v'shoha means he violated shehiya b'shoigeh. So they find that a little difficult. Ovra sounds like b'mezid. That's what Rashi added on. Ovra b'mezid mai. So that's the first pshat that Taisus gives. It's talking about a case where the fellow violated shehiyah b'shoigeg. Does Rabbi Yudah's penalty apply even in such a case or not? So what was the Gemara's answer? Toshma, the Amar Shmuel bar Nosson Amar Bchanine Shalach Rabbi Yosef Tzipori Motzel Chamishin Ishtal Gabi Kira V'Leosalem Beitzim Mitzvon Shin Ishtal Gabi Kira V'Leosalem. Why? Because one has been stomach v'yofalo, one has been stomach v'ralo. Who says that they did it b'shoigeg? Maybe they did it b'mezid. So Tesis is forced into interpreting shenishtahu. Shenishtahu means it was b'shege. That's the mashmos of Loshim. Maisirai, maisirab yaisi. Umashmalei da'afila b'shege. Mirakama b'nishtahu, lakama b'shihu. Shenishtahu means that they did it b'shege. So that's how Tesis interprets. But then Tesis concludes, it's difficult. Because over b'shoah sounds like it's b'mezid. That's how Rashi says. So if you learn it goes b'mezid, so what's the Gemara Shaila? It's the same shahada that they had before. That was the last line. Bo min emir apchia barabo. What's the din? And the Gemara said, yeah, the same thing. There is a penalty. It's very difficult. So the Rashba quotes some Rishonim say, this Eboilahu, this Shaila, they were not aware of this sugya. These were written by different Amaroim, and this Amara didn't know from that whole Bryce, they didn't know the whole story from before. And they finally come to the same conclusion that there is a penalty. And so it's a repeat in the Gemara. So the one who edited the Talmud Bavli should have left the one out or the other out. Why does he repeat the same thing? It's a little doichik to say that this written by different Amara wasn't aware of all of this. So that's why the Tosvi HaRosh gives another suggestion. He says, until now, until now we were discussing one who violated Shia, that there's a penalty for him, that he's not allowed to eat it. But we never discussed what about the Bnei Bayit. What's the din of Mishan Asa B'Shvilah? The fellow who violated Shia, he doesn't live alone. He's not a bacha. He's not a single guy. He lives alone. He has a whole family. A husband and a wife and all the 25 children that they have in the house. And their children alone, and all the grandchildren. Everybody. So the Shia says, if he violated Shia, do we only penalize him? Or do we penalize Mishan Asa B'Shvilah? That was the Machlokes, the Beis Yosef, and the Morgan Avraham. So the Tosvi HaRosh says that was the Gemara Sofi. Iboilahu over v'shohamai. We just said before there's a penalty for the one who did the Yisr. What about for the Bnei Bayis? Mikon tzu rabbanon aloi toshma. So the Gemara says v'loi asa. Kisholach Rabbi Yosef litzipori. Matzah hamishin neshtal gabikir v'loi asa lahen. In the plural. Beitzim mitzimok neshtal gabikir v'loi asa lahen. What's the plural? So the Tosvi HaRosh learns lahen means for the whole family. Not just for like Asa Lo, for the one who did the Shehiyah. Asa Lohem for all the Bnei Abayis. So that was what the Gemara was asking. They came to the conclusion that even Mishan Asa B'Shvilah has the same din as the Mevashel B'Shabbos. In other words, that the case of Mevashel B'Shabbos is parallel to the case of Eimavatan Yisrael Hatchila Vim Bitloi Asa Lo LeMishan Asa B'Shvilah. Not like the Beis Yosef thought to distinguish between the two cases, but rather to make an equation between the two. According to that interpretation of the Tosfei HaRosh, he learned that that was the exactly the Boilu. The Tosfei HaRosh learned that was the Gemara Sufik, whether the East or the penalty only goes on the Mevashel or even goes on the Bnei Bayis, Lamish, and Asa B'Shvil. And the answer was Lahem. The Pshitness was from the word Lahem in the plural, that we even treat the Bnei Bayis as the Mish and Asa B'Shvil is treated the same as the fellow himself. Then we had the Gemara about Masir and Afilu B'Shabbos that we learned already, we chazed that already. Then we discussed today also about you have to have the two conditions in order to be considered a Hemshech from before. You have to avoid the Biyodah, but Daita Lahafsir, fine, all the other conditions. We discussed a lot the Machlekes, we repeated many times the Machlekes between the Bali Atosis and the Chachmei Svarai, which the Rosh Hashanah has a whole piece about. Whether the prohibition of Hachazore is basically the same as Shehi, it's all Gzei Rishem Meyichate, or it's a totally different Issa, it's an Issa because of Bishul. We discussed, yesterday we discussed it a few times. So the and there are more Paschans like the Bali Atosis, that everything is Gzei Rishem Meyichate, and that's why it's Mutal Ismach not only by Shehi, it's Mutal Ismach by Hachazore as well. If Hachazore would have been Osa because it's Bishul, so what's the difference whether you do Bishul, Agabi, Ha'esh, or Samach Leish? Bishul is Bishul. Even if you cook Petaldas Ha'esh, it'll be a Melacha Derai. So that was the Gemara Shaila. Gilgal Mai, if the last line on Lamed Ches on the base, what if you cook Ha'idei Toldas Ha'esh? Gemara says, Gilgal Chayv Chatas, it's a Melacha Derai. If you cook with the Toldas Ha'esh. So the fact that we pask and the fact that there are more paskins like the Tetris, that it's Mutal Lismach not only by Shia, it's even Mutal Lismach by Chazorah. In other words, Chazorah is also a Shem Yechata B'Gecholim. It's not an Issa Bishul Mirabbanan. And this Gzeir Hashem Echatab is only introduced if you put the food al Gabi Hoish. If it's Bisamach, if it's not al Gabi Hoish, then they never made the Gzeir at all. So that's what the Rishonim ask. The Yor Sameach with the Mishnah Brewer both say, look in the Sefer Yosha, the Rabbi Natam, he poses the question, if this is the case, that both Shia and HaChazoreh are all Shem Echatab, so how come by Shia all you need is Gufa Ktuma? By Hakazar, you need so many more elaborate conditions. When you need other biyodim, a daitel lahaftu v'leinim stam lagam. Once you have guf oktumah, so there's no chashash Shem Yechata, the goof of the blech will be mine, me not the poke around. So what's wrong if I take out food from the refrigerator and put it on top of the blech? As a blech, that'll remind me not to fool around. So the Seifa Yashar Rabin and Tam gave a whole explanation that there's more of a chashash. So that's the shaila that was brought up in our generation. What if you have a plata, Shal Shabbat, that's either on or off, and there's no way to regulate it to make it higher or lower? There's mamash nothing to be mechatav gecholim about. So should you say in such a case that there's heta goma, that there's no isa hachazor at all, it's heta goma, because it's impossible to be mechatav gecholim? Should you still insist that no, that it's a loy plug rabbanon, even though the reason for the gzera, that's usually we say like that, even though the reason for the gzera doesn't apply, the gzera the rabbanon still applies. That's what the Gemara usually assumes, that all gzeras the rabbanon were instituted as a loy plug rabbanon, so even in the case where the reason doesn't apply, the gzera still applies. So I'd see Pesach Frank in his Sefer and Chuvas Hard to be suggests that if you have a plata, that the nature of the plata is such that it can't be regulated to make it higher or lower, he thinks that's the equivalent of grufa ktuma. So therefore, if you want to do shahiyah, that would be okay. If you want to leave some food on top of such a plata on Erev Shabbos, so you don't have to have an additional blech, there's nothing to regulate. We're just going to either turn it on or turn it off. So you left it on Erev Shabbos, what are you going to say? Gzeri shani chatawa is going to turn it off. That whenever chosh, his guy's going to turn it off. When he doesn't need it anymore, he takes off the food from the fire and he puts it off the fire. They're not afraid he's going to turn the fire off. Just afraid he's going to regulate the fire and make it higher or lower. So he went not trying to make it higher or lower. So Reb Tzvi Teitel Frank thinks that's the equivalent of grufa of tumah. So he says that's sufficient to be mata shehiyah. So you can leave food on the plot of the Erev Shabbos. You don't need any blech. You don't need any hecker at all. But to take out food from the refrigerator, put it on top of the plot in the middle of Shabbos, he thinks that that's not sufficient to do achazor. It's not enough just if you had grufa ktuma. You have to have oida biyodai, the daita lahaksa. So since you don't have that over here, so that's not permissible. And others disagree and think they're not so. They think that since the whole prohibition of achazor is shema yechaten, it's mamish impossible to be mechate. It's impossible. There's nothing to be mechate about. It's the same heat all the time. You can't change it even if you try. So the whole zera derabbanon was never made in such a case. So that's a different opinion. What about the plata shal Shabbat? Then the Gemara right before the Mishnah had another suffix. Oh, the Gemara had a few spaces here. Boy Rabbi Yirmiya, three lines before the Mishnah and Alam Kesem Beis. Boy Rabbi Yirmiya, Tilon de Makel Mahu. Inichal Agabi Mito Mahu. What's the din? If Inichal Agabi Karka, so then it's called the Nesini Mechadosh. It's going to take the pot from the floor and put it back on top of the stove. That's an Nesini Mechadosh. It's not a lot. What if Tilon de Makel Mahu? What if he has a cane, or let's say you have a, let's say today we have a hook screwed into the wall or screwed into the piece of wood on the wall or something, then the guy's holding this kettle of water and he serves tea and he wants to put the kettle back, but they have something else there on top of the fire. He has to hold it for a few minutes. He has better things to do with his time, so he wants to hang the handle of the kettle, let's say agabi makel. It's not hinich on agabi karka, it's dangling in midair. It's suspended in midair. Or hinich agabi mito. He put it on top of a little serving table, but he didn't put it agabi karka. Do I say that that's mafsik to hemshechius? When he's going to put it back on top of the stove, that's called the nesini mechadosh, because he let go. Well, you say no, he let go, but he didn't put it down where he would normally put it on the floor. It's not finished. He suspended it on a makel, or he suspended it on a hook on the wall, or he put it on a gabimito on top of a special serving table. So that's an ibay in the Gemara. So strictly speaking, when you have an ibay lev shita, you should really go lekula. The whole thing is a din de rabbanon. Ibay lev shita, but the rabbanon should go lekula. Then the Gemara had the other shayla by Rav Ashi, pinim imechem lemechem, mahu teiku. What does it mean, pinim imechem lemechem? Interesting. Pinim imechem lemechem. Let's say the guy has a kettle of water. He pours the water into another cold pot. So the water is now a klisheni. So the Gemara has a possibility. I can take the klisheni with burning hot water and put it back on top of the blech. That's interesting. I take a klisheni, I convert it into a klivishon. So there's no problem, because it's burning hot anyway. It's not an Issa. Later on, the Ran quotes Rabbeinu Yonah. The Ran on the Rif quotes Rabbeinu Yonah. I think it's in Perek Lamed Atonement, where he has a chumrah that a lot of people are medactic about. If you're pouring tea, so if you're pouring, we say Iri Kli Rishon is mevashel to a certain extent. Here, Tosfos Lamed Tesa Men Aleph quotes the Machlokes of Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbo, the Rash Mishan. Machlokes are Rishonim later. But the Iri is mevashel, Iri is not mevashel. It's a long thesis on mem base and the base. Where the Iri is mevashel or not, so we have a compromise here. The top thesis on notional tercha kairo, the thesis quotes the contradictory diukim in the Mishnah. When you say Iri klirishon, where the Iri klirishon is mevashel or not mevashel, so we pass in a compromise that Iri klirishon is mevashel kadei klipa. It's not mevashel kadei kulo, it's mevashel kadei klipa. So the Rabbeinu Yonah has a chumrah. If a person is pouring pouring tea, and he stops pouring, so now the water in the cup is a klisheni. Now if he's going to continue to pour, so here is mevashel kadei klipa, so it's considered as if it's mevashel the upper klipa of the water on the bottom. Yeah, but the water on the bottom is burning hot. He just poured it a second ago. He's going to pour some more burning hot water. What do you mean? In Metzius, he's not making it hotter than it was before. He does make it a little hotter. But all the water on the bottom and on top, everything is above Yatzaletis. He's not changing it from below Yatzaletis to above Yatzaletis. He's just changing it from status of Klisheni into status of Klevishon. So that's called Bishul. This change something from Klisheni into Klevishon is called Bishul. Because that was exactly the Gemara's Ibai. Boy Ravashi, Pino Nimechem Lamechem Mahu. Take it. The Gemara had a suffix. He takes the water from the kettle, he pours it into a different kettle, which was cold all Shabbos. And he takes the second kettle and he puts it on top of the fire. So he's taken a klisheni with that which has the water in the second kettle is a klisheni, and he puts it back on top of the fire. It's going to just maintain its heat. It's not going to make it hotter. It will make it a little hotter because it's on top of the fire. But already the water is above Yatzaletis. It's going to, by putting it on top of the fire, it's going to retain that high heat, that high degree temperature heat of above Yatzaletis, and it's going to even get a little higher yet. So the Gemara had a suffix whether there's a violation of HaChazorah. What's the suffix? HaChazorah is only mutter if it's Oideh B'Yodah B'Dayis Alahas, etc., etc. It's a Hemshach from before. Gemara had a suffix. Maybe it's only Hemshach from before. You can only call it Shia, and it's mutter if it's in the same pot which you left on the fire in the beginning of Shabbat. But if you switched pots, so that's not a Hemshach from before. That's Mafsik the Hemshachius, and there's no Heter of HaChazorah. Why did the Gemara raise the possibility should be an Isar Bishul? That the Gemara never raised such a possibility. You see that there's no problem of Bishul. So the Pashtus in the Gemara indicates that this Chumrah that people observe, it doesn't make any sense. If you're pouring burning hot water, then you stop. So you're not allowed to pour more hot water on it. But the water is burning hot. You see that there's no issue of Bishul over here.
Isn't the Pashtus Pshat that it's going from one heat source to another heat source without a clean in the middle? We're not talking
Pashup about in what?
In the Gemara, in Pidei L'Mechum L'Mechum. Not that you're putting it in a second kli and then putting it back on the same fire.
For what?
But rather, you have two mechums, and you're taking from one heat source and pouring it into another. Like, let's say I have a hot water.
Me, the other one is also burning hot.
Yeah.
Ah, that's what it means. One. Okay.
Okay.
If you say it like that, then it's no kasha.
But there's another day in the Rishon. One of the days in the Ran, I think, is brought is that, like the way Rabbi said it, that it's going back from one to Kli and back onto the same fire.
Uh huh. That's the shayla. Pidim mechem lamecham. The second mechem that I poured the water into, is that also burning hot? If it's burning hot, then it's not a klisheni. So then you can still insist like that. That if you have water that's a burning hot water and a klisheni, you're going to pour burning hot water from the Kli Rishon onto it. So you can. There's still room to argue that the Iri is mevashel kadei klipa, even though it's burning hot anyway, but it's still going to make it bishul. But if you say that the second mecham is cold, then it's an opening gemara that is muta. That it's only a problem of shihi. It's only an issue of hachazar. It's not an issue of bishul. So if you want to hold from this chumrah, you have to say pinim mechem mechem. The second mechem is also burning hot. They're both burning hot mechem. Okay, that's the only way to kriach out of it. Yeah. What does Tosfos say? Pinim mechem mechem. Here the Gemara suggested that pina mechem lamecham, there's room to be machmir, and the kamon daf nun aleph regarding hatmona, the Gemara says if you pina mechem lamecham, then there's more room to be mekel. So how come there is the pin mechem mechem is a kula and here pin mechem is a chumra? So Taisa says, Pashut, what's the whole prohibition of hatmona? Hatmona is a gzera shema yichata b'gecholim. So that chashash only applies, that's what the Gemara says with kamadatim and all. That chashash only applies if the food is still hot in the original pot in which it was cooked. But if it's pinim and mechem mechem, we already put it into a klisheni, and the tfanas are going to be mekarero, so how much can you accomplish already by putting around a dover hamamid hevel? We're talking on Shabbos. Well, what can you accomplish already by putting a dover hamamid hevel around it? It's on its way to cooling off anyway. It's not going to help. Shemi yichata yichon is not going to accomplish anything. He already put it into the klisheni, it's on its way to cool off. So there's no chashad there. The Gemara assumes that this doesn't make sense that there should be a concern shemi yichata b'gichol. But here in our Gemara, we're talking about a different shayla. Pinim mechem mechem is it a hemshach from before? I'm not putting back the food on top of the fire in the same pot that it was in originally. It's in a different pot, so that's why here there's room to be machmir. This is called an asidi mechodesh. It's not a hemshach from before. So that's why they're opposites from each other. The Gemara nun aleph pinim mechem mechem is a svar lahokel. And on our daf, regarding Hachazar, Pinim Mechem Mechem, is a Svar Alohok. Okay, let's see. Tana we're going to skip. Why we're going to skip it? Because the Magen Avraham says that it doesn't apply Bizman Hazeh. There's three kinds. There's a Kira, the first one, the first Mishnah, then there's Tanor. And then there's a Kupach. That's the next Mishnah. Somewhere. Where's the Kupach? Used to be a Mishnah about Kupach. No?
Same
Mishnah. Kupach is the second half of the Mishnah of Tanur, yeah. So what's the question is, what's the difference between a Kira and a Tanur? What's the difference? So the Magen Avraham quotes two opinions. The one opinion is that a Tanur means a Tanur shal nachtomim, that they're baker's ovens. So we have baker's ovens, okay, they're much hotter than a normal oven. So anyone who doesn't have a baker's oven, that has the status of a Kira. So that's what the Rishonim say, Tanurim shalana kikira shalahem, because it's not a baker's oven. And the Magen Avraham quotes another opinion, it's not that Tanur only applies if it's Tanur shal nachtomim, no. He says a Tanur, all of the heat is concentrated. Rashi sounds like he learns like that. Kotza lamayla rochav lamat, and nikla tchuma letocho, tfei kira. In a kira, part of the heat escapes. In a Tanur, none of the heat escapes. All of the heat is concentrated and all goes into here. So by us, let's say if we have a burner on top of the stove, so a lot of the heat, most of the heat escapes on the side. Most of the heat is lost. Even if you have a blech on top, most of the heat escapes on the side. But let's say if you'll have an urn with an electric element on the bottom and it has burning hot, has water inside, so all of the heat is, I don't think any of the heat is wasted over there. I think the element is put in such a location that all of the heat from the element should go into the water inside. So then there's room to argue the point and say that an electric urn should have the status of a tanur. We'll make a lot of that.
Why wouldn't the urn have the same shalat we spoke about by Hatmona, the shalat by a thermos?
Yeah.
So why wouldn't that also be shayach by a hot water urn?
Hatmona on the hot water urn?
Totally, yeah, it's totally insulating the water. It should be the same thing as a thermos, the same shalat, no?
Well, thermos is a shalat because you have a container within a container. But over here by the urn, I think it's only one container. That's a pot. So I'm cooking water in a pot from Erev Shabbos.
Wouldn't the urn also be subject to seeing discussion regarding the plug that doesn't have any controls?
Right, okay, right. Anachinami. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So according to some Rishonim, the topic of Tanur is relevant by the urn, because none of the heat escapes. But the minig is lahakel. So Magen Avraham says the minig is lahakel. We assume that the definition of a Tanur is Tanur shnaftomim, and anything less than that has the status of Kira. Okay, so we'll skip to the next Mishnah. Okay. In those in Beitza B'Tzaramech, Mishul Shetiz Galgel. Maza Mishul Shetiz Galgel. What is that? So Rashi explains, if you have a raw egg and you want to spin it, so it doesn't spin well. If you have a hard-boiled egg, it spins much better. If you mixed up the eggs, you don't remember which is hard-boiled egg, which is raw, so just try to spin them. So the one that spins well, this one that's Mizgalgel, is the one that was cooked already. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to cook an egg. That's just another a slang way of saying cooking an egg is lizgagil. The cook is still a point that is able to be spin. So it says you're not allowed to cook an egg by putting it in tzad hamecham. Okay. So the Gemara has a shaila, iboy lahu, means like this. I have heat on the bottom of a samovar, the bottom of a pot of water, and the water is so burning hot, so it even affects if I leave some raw eggs over here. The raw eggs are not getting hot from the heat of the fire. The water in the samovar, the water in the urn, gets cooked from the heat, and this water is so hot, it gives off heat on the side and it cooks an egg. So that's the Gemara Shaila. What if you cooked the toldesoish? I didn't cook the ish mamish, I cooked the toldesoish. Is that an isa deraisa on Shabbos? Is that only midirabban? Maybe it's only an isa deraisa bishol. Maybe it's only a violation of bishol deraisa if you cooked agabi ho ish mamish. That's what the Shach and the everyday quotes a Yerushalmi like that. Shalmi says that it's only bishol deraisa if it's agabi ho ish. So the Babli contradicts the Yerushalmi. Amar Rav Yosef Gilgal Chayev Katzes. If you cook the toldos ha'esh, that's also an isa deraisa. So the Gemara says, "Amar marbe de Ravina fanana mitinina." I have a beferish in Mishnah that says, like Rav Yosef, that it's a malacha deraisa. The Mishnah he dug up from Kuf Mem Hey all the way to the end of the Mishnah. Kol shabbat b'chamin lufni haShabbos, or no shabbat b'chamin b'Shabbos. That's the principle of ein bishul achad bishul. The only time there's an isa of hachazara is that if I take the chicken or the kugel out of the refrigerator, put it back on top of the fire. If you put it back on top of the blach, we also say that's called a gabhesh. That's called an isa hachazara. But if I take food from the refrigerator that's fully cooked, and let's say I have a pot of soup, burning hot soup, and I take the hot soup off of the fire, and I take some chicken kugel, I take a piece of chicken, cold chicken from the freezer, and I put it, I submerge it under this burning, under the surface of the soup. And the soup is mamish burning hot, extremely hot, and it makes all the chicken burning hot. That's fine. That's not hachazor. Hachazor is only if the pot of soup is still on top of the fire. When I put the chicken into the pot, I'm putting the chicken al gabi ha'esh. But if I take the pot of chicken and I put it on top of the radiator, that's not al gabi ha'esh. The ish is in the basement. Or if I take the pot of burning hot soup off of the fire and I put the chicken in the pot, and I hold the cold chicken under the soup, so the chicken gets heated up, not because of eish, gets heated up because of toldos eish. That's not a prohibition of hachazor. So that's the Mishnah l'kama kufnam hey. Kol shabbat b'chamin lifnei haShabbos, sharon osa b'chamin b'Shabbos. The same bishul hachabishul, and there is no issue of hachazor here because it's not a gabi eish. Kol shalayba b'chamin lifnei haShabbos. If you have something that was not cooked before Shabbos, raw food. So then there's an Issa Bishul B'Shabbos. So you're not allowed to be Mavashel, but only a Kli Rishon is Mavashel. Madichan Mosa Bechamin B'Shabbos. You're permitted to pour burning hot water on top of the raw food, even though the burning hot water will accomplish that it will get cooked. There are things that are Kalim Lehiz Bashel. There are certain Macholim that are Kali HaBishul. They're very easy to cook. So hadachas and zuik mamalach, and even if you only do irui, that will accomplish bishul. So shmami no, what are the more proof? If you mevashel but told the saish, that's also an isa deraisa. The series accomplishing the bishul on the maliach hayoshan, the kuyas or ispinin, is accomplishing the bishul not through eish, but rather through pouring burning hot water on top of these fish, and the burning hot water became hot because of eish. That's called told the saish. That's toldos reish. You see that bishul betoldos reish constitutes an isa deraisa. That's the Gemara's raya. So you see the famous of the Gemara. How do you translate the words hadachas and zui gmar malachton? So the levush, the prima gadim in Shulchan Aruch Shabbos quotes a levush. The levush says pshat hadachas and zui gmar malachton that it's a malacha makabah patish. Makabah patish. So how did the Gemara prove in that Mishnah that bishul is deraisa betoldos reish? It says it's makabah patish. You see, from the Gemara, the Levush is wrong. That's why all the Achranim always disagreed with the Levush. Levush on all the Abba Chalka Shulchan Aruch, he always gives pshatim, and they always tie. He never looked up the Gemara. He gave his own interpretations, and everything is against the Gemara. That's why the story about the Shagas Aryeh, that when he was 90 years old, so the bookcase fell on him, and he said that this time he's going to die. They were pulling him out from under the books. He said, this time he's going to die. He said they always disagreed with all of these Svarim, Rashi and Taisus and the Rambam and everybody. and they all ganged up on him, and they said they're gonna jump him this time, and they all jumped on him, the whole bookcase fell on him, and he asked everybody mechila, and they were all Michael except for the Lavush. He said, the Lavush killed me. Now he's gonna die because he was Mavazel the Lavush more than everybody. Why is he Mavazel Lavush? Everybody argues with the Lavush. Lavush always says things that are against all the Gemara. So he always says things, he never looked up the Gemara's. See, this also, the Pashtus is that it's against the Gemara. He says, Hadachas is the Gemara Malachton. He says, it's an Isa Makaba Patish. What kind of Makaba Patish? The Gemara said the same, that it's Bishul. That Kali HaBishul, you can violate Bishul even on Yidei Irui. If it's not Kali HaBishul and you cook something on Yidei Irui, it's not Bishul. If it's Kali HaBishul, you cook on Yidei Irui, then it is an Isa Bishul. What exactly, what kind of Irui are we talking about? So that's what the Tesu says, the Tupshotim. That's what the Tesu is called Shabbat Bechamin. Has the machlekes, that's the machlekes that we just mentioned. That Tesis on men based on the base, has the machlekes, the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam. So some Rishonim hold that Iri Kli Rishon is Eina Mavasha. Iri from a Kli Rishon is not Mavasha. So that's how they read the Mishnah. Kol Shalom Ba Bechamen Milifnei HaShabbos, if you have raw food, Madicha Mosa Bechamen B'Shabbos, Madicha means Iri. You're permitted to do Iri Kli Rishon. Chutz Men Aleh HaYashim, Kol Yisrael Ispinin, Hadachas is Zig Mamlach, no, there the Iri is Mevashel because it's Kale Habishel. So half of the Rishonim read that that's what the Mishnah says. Madicha Mosa Becham and Bishabbos, that Iri Kli Rishon is Eina Mevashel. That's not a violation of Bishon. The other Rishonim insist that it's not so, that Iri Kli Rishon is Mevashel. So what does the Mishnah say? Madicha Mosa Becham, it means you're allowed to pour Iri Kli Rishon. You're permitted to do Iri Klisheni. So that's a chapela. My Iri Klisheni, even Klisheni ain't a Mavashal. Igmar says later in the Perik, a daf later, that Klisheni ain't a Mavashal. So what do you have to say? Iri Klisheni, Madicha Mosa Becham and Bishabs, Iri Klisheni is Mutter. Even to put it into the pot, into the Klisheni itself is Mutter. Why do you only say it's Mutter to do Iri Klisheni? So Taisus has two suggestions. They're not sure. So the Ri has one suggestion he gives is, that even though klisheni is mutam in HaTorah, but klisheni is mevashal midirabbanan in certain cases. Which cases? The Mishnah says b'feirus that klisheni is not mevashal even midirabbanan. Here, the Mishnah says, and that Mishnah that we looked up that thesis, and then based on an aleph going over some in base. So the bottom line on that base on an aleph, the Mishnah is talking about putting tavlin. You're not allowed to put. You're not allowed to put tavlin into a pot of burning hot soup because the pot of hot soup is the klivishin. Klivishin is mevashel. But after you pour the soup into a kaira or a tamchoi, the tamchoi is the serving bowl, the kaira is the final bowl. So once the soup is in a klisheni, so then the din is that there's no bishul on the tavlin in the klisheni. So the Ri says that's only tavlin because people don't eat tavlin bifnei atzma. People only eat, sometimes they don't eat the tavlin at all. And sometimes they eat the tablin agav the food, but the tablin per se is not an edible thing. Well, let's say they'll take a hard-boiled egg. Let's say you take some raw food. I'll take a raw egg. I'll take a raw piece of food, and I'll cook it in a klisheni. Then the Ri is mechadish that's an isa bishul midirabban. That's what he calls mefzik mevashel. Mefzik mevashel doesn't mean that it's a marisayin bishul. It means that it's a mevashel midirabban. Then the Ri has another suggestion, maybe that's too great a chiddush to say, that there's bishul. See, there are two gemaras where it says the Pharisee that there's no bishul de klisheni at all, period, even with the Rabbanan. The one is the Mishnah, the top line on men based on the base. The bottom line, men based on the Manal, says you're not allowed to put tavlin into the Kli Rishon, even though the Kli Rishon is shalai al gabi ha'esh. Ilus vagder shavir mirutachim, you removed it from the fire. So the ilus vagder is only told us Eish, it's not Eish Mamish, nonetheless, Litan the Tochan Tavlin, if you put the Tavlin into the Kli Rishon, that's Bishul Dereis. That's what we hold Gilgal Chayv Chatas, that's Bishul Dereis, even though it's not Agabi Eish. However, Nosnul the Tochan Kar, the Tochan Tamchui, that what the Kli Rishon is, Eina Mavashal, had to Gomer. So the Ri suggests that's only on Tavlin, because you don't eat it Bifnei Atzma. If you're going to put in a chunk of food that you're going to eat Bifnei Atzma, it's edible, then there's going to be Bishul Midirabbanon, the Kli Rishon, Mechzikim Mavashal. Then there's another Gemara. Here, Tana Rabbanon, Mem Beis Amin Aleph, Zabraisa, 10 lines from the top. So the Gemara talks about the following case. Let's say a fellow has a cup of tea. The tea is too burning hot to drink, and he doesn't want to wait the 5 minutes till it cools off. So he says in the Braisa, he's permitted to pour cold water into the burning hot tea, or he wants to pour, let's say, some lemon juice into the burning hot tea, or he wants to pour some milk into the cup of burning hot coffee. When he's not fleshing on Shabbos, he wants to pour a little milk, so the milk is cold and the coffee is burning hot. And he's going to make the milk into Yad Saleres. It's going to be burning hot milk. So the Braisa says that it's mutter. It says the klisheni ain't a mevashim. So how can we come up with the chumash say klisheni is mevashim with the rabbanon? So the Prima Gonim explains, when you're pouring in water into tea, or you're pouring in lemon juice into tea, you're pouring in milk into coffee, the liquid blends in with the liquid. There is no dover oimid bifnei atzma. There's no dover gush oimid bifnei atzma. Ah, he did bishul on that. Everything blends in together. So since the bulk of the thing was already mizbashal from before, so that's, there's no bishul b'klisheni. You can't say it's a mechzikim b'bashal. There is no separate entity that you're doing bishul on. The liquid that you pour in blends in with the other liquid. Masha'ini can hear the Ri is interpreting this Mishnah, the Ri on Lama Tesamanal, is interpreting this Mishnah on Kuf Memeh and Beis as saying, Le'itin Madichin Asa Bechamid, you're allowed to pour from the klisheni on the food which is not Kali HaBishol. Kali HaBishol will be Bishol Deraisa. Even Iri Klisheni. But if it's not Kali HaBishol, you're permitted to do Iri Klisheni. Not allowed to do Iri Klivishin, because Iri Klivishin is Mavashol. Either Kulor, or at least Mavashol Bnei Klipa, the two opinions in Tesis. But, and you're only allowed to do Iri Klisheni, but you're not allowed to put the Michael itself, the raw food, into the Klisheni, because Klisheni is Mavashol Midirabbanon, because it's a Michael, it's not. If you have a mashke, there's no problem with the rabbanon. The Ri is moide. And if you have a tablin, there's also no problem with the rabbanon, because it's not mechzik mevashe. You don't eat the tablin bifnei atzmo. You don't eat the tablin at all. You eat the tablin agav. Let's say you put a tea bag. So the tea bag is like a tablin. So the pashto should be that a tea bag you should be permitted to put into a klisheni. Unless you come up, the Mishnah Berurah came up with two new suggestions. One suggestion he quotes from the Binyan Zion, that maybe the tea bag is kalei habishol. We can never tell what's Kali HaBishol or what's not. So only what it says, and if something says the Farish and Gemara that's not Kali HaBishol, then you know it's not Kali HaBishol. So since a tea bag is not discussed in the Gemara, maybe you have to be Choshish, maybe everything under the sun is Kali HaBishol. It's a Shvera Chumr. The Pashto says that only the things that are mentioned are Kali HaBishol. Kol Yisrael is pinning in the Dag Maliach. Why should you think that a tea bag is? Then the Mishnah Berurah has another tzad l'hachma based on the Chayei Odom. That when you say klisheni ani mevashel, that's only if the water in the klisheni is yad, so let us bo. It's burning hot. What if it's scalding hot? What if it's yad nichvis bo? Oh, so then the Chayei Odom discovered a Rambam, that the Rambam says that yesh bishul b'klisheni. If the liquid in the klisheni is more than yad saleres, it's yad nichvis bo, sometimes you have burning hot water. Yad saleres means vasalda b'chilim b'panecha. That the person puts his hand into the water, he didn't realize that it's hot, burning hot, so his instincts and reaction is going to jump away, like the Shliach Tzibbe says, "V'chzal v'bechil m'panecha." He jumps away in fear from the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the instinctive reaction will be to jump, his hand is going to jump away by reflex action. And sometimes it's Yad Nichvis Bo. He puts his hand in, not only will he jump away, he's going to take his hand out, it's going to be all burnt. He's going to have a red mark on his hand because the water was burning, scalding hot. He burnt his hand. So the Chayyadim quotes a Rambam where the Rambam says that Yesh Bishul B'Klisheni, if the water is Yad, Nichvizbo. Shal is, where is this Rambam? The Rambam got it from Yerushalayim. Where is the Rambam? So the Rambam is in Hilchus Maisris. Not in Hilchus Shabbos. Not in Hilchus Basav HaKol. In Hilchus Maisris is going to get to a different din. The Halacha says you're not permitted to eat Tevel. One is not permitted to eat tevel. When does something become tevel there, right? So you have to have miruach, and then you have to have riyas p'nei abayis. What happens if you only had miruach, you didn't yet have riyas p'nei abayis, you didn't bring it into the house yet? So then the minator, there's no prohibition of tevel, but the rabbanon, there's an issur tevel if you eat it achilas keva. So what constitutes achilas keva? So one, a case achilas keva, guy eats a ton of food, he eats until he's ready to plot. That's achilas keva. There are other things that are labeled. We label them as achilas keva, even though he walks away just as hungry afterwards as he is before. So one case is Shabbos kavas. Whatever you eat on Shabbos is called achilas keva. Another case, mekach kaveya. If you buy it from someone else, that's also kaveya. And a whole bunch of things are kaveya. Melach, if you salt it, is kaveya. Another thing that's kaveya is bishul. If you cook the food, if you cook the tevel, and you eat it, even though it's ma'amashu, next to nothing, so the din is that the bishul is kaveya. So the Rambam in Hilchas Maisus quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi that when is Bishul Kaveya? Only if it's Bishul B'Klishen. If you do Bishul B'Klisheni, it's not called Achilas Keva. unless it's Yad Nichvis Bo, then I say Yesh Bishul B'Klisheni, and it's called Achilos Kerem. So that's what the Chayyadam says. Maybe from that Rambam we should infer, Rambam B'Shem Ayushalmi, maybe we should infer that even though normally the rule is ain't Bishul B'Klisheni, but if it's a Klisheni where it's Yad Nichvis Bo, so then the Rambam quotes Yerushalmi that there is Bishul. So the Chayyadam himself says it's in the Nishma Sotah. Not in the text of the Chayyadam, and he has the Tilpudim. So he writes himself, he doesn't think it's a conclusive proof. If the din would have been that the only thing that makes Achilas Kerem is Bishul, and the Rambam would quote Yerushalmi that Bishul B'Klisheni, if it's Yad Nichvis Bo, it's called Bishul, so then you have enough in the din that Yad Nichvis is Bishul even B'Klisheni. But the Rambam says that Melech is Kaveya, and Mekach is Kaveya, and Shabbos is Kaveya, some of the other things are Kaveya. So Bishul B'Klisheni, Yad Nichvis is another thing that's Kaveya. It doesn't necessarily indicate that it's Bishul and Kala Tarakul. You're going to say that it's Bishul for Basa B'Cholav, that it's Basa B'Cholav Deraisa. We usually assume in Yeridaya that not only is Klisheni not Mavashel, we say Klisheni is not Mavli or Mafli. Let's say I have a piece of have some trefa soup, camel's pork and beans. So I poured it into Klisheni. I cooked it by mistake. I cooked it in a pot, so the pot is straight. I poured it into Klisheni. So he remakes the pot straight. And now I take a spoon and I start to eat this trefa stuff. Then I realize it's trefa stuff. Okay. So do I have to kasha the spoon or not? So in Shulchan Aruch it says that Klisheni, just like Klisheni is not Mevashel, Klisheni doesn't make a blia that makes trefa. So the spoon that I used in the bowl, the spoon that I used to stir the pork and beans in the pot in the Klisheni where it was cooked, that becomes strange. So I have to do hagola, I have to kasha the spoon. But the spoon that I use to eat in the Klisheni, so in your day, it's a machloikis and the Shulchan Aruch paskins lahakal. That Klisheni doesn't make trefa. So you're going to tell me that that's only if it's only Yad Soleda. But if it's Yad Nichvis Bo, let's say if it's 180 degrees, 170 degrees or so, Yad Nichvis Bo, then you're going to say that does make trace. It doesn't say so in Yeridaya. It doesn't say it anywhere. The Chayyadim came up with a new Yeshmeyah and came up with a new Yif. He got from outer space at Ramam and Hilchas Maisvis, a new Chumr. So the Pashtus is the way the Chayyadim himself says it's not a Raya. It's the din of Yad Nichvis Bo. The both reasons why people are machmer not to use a teabag in a klisheni, the Chazanish writes, the both reasons are very weak. To say that a teabag is kali habishul, to say that everything under the sun is kali habishul, unless it says beferish in the Gemara that it's not. They say this is a shvera chumr. And to say, based on that Ramam in Hilchas Maisvis, that in Kol HaTarakula there's a din, that yesh bishul the klisheni fitzad nichvis, very shver. The pashtus is that this is one of the things that's koveya. You have other things that are koveya, but it doesn't really indicate that it's bishul and kol
haterakuma. Something I remember being told about teabags, that our teabags as opposed to anything else, is that they ferment the tea leaves to make them easier to cook. So like the Japanese tea, that the leaves aren't fermented, you have to leave them in there. But our tea, dafka made to be to cook easier. So even if you want to say by other things that it's not going to be kali bishul, if it's not listed as something that's not kali bishul, here there was a process done to it beforehand to make it kali bishul.
There was a process done to the tea leaves that they should become kali bishul.
Now unless we want to say that act of fermentation was an act of bishul, but if not, then it should be bishul.
Okay. That's a point to consider. Maybe because they treat it chemically, whatever, maybe it is kali habishul. Okay.
Yeah.
The leaves are cooked before.
I heard that they're fermented.
Okay, someone has to do some research on it. Someone should write a paper for the research. Okay, so this is a famous taste. This taste is Lama Tessam and Aleph. The Re has 2 days. That's the first day. That if it's kali habishul, it even iri from a klisheni is also. But if it's not kali habishul, not only is iri from a klisheni mutter, even to do shorin also be klisheni would also be mutter. So these are two opinions in the Tosfos b'shem Hari. The Ramah quotes the chumra opinion. Ramah quoted the chumra, the first opinion. That one should be machmir, that there's bishul, the klisheni, with the rabbanim, what he calls metzik and milashel, if it's a dover gush that people are going to eat. If it's tavlin, then there's no problem. That's the Mishnah, the top line on mem base on the base. And if it's mashkim, there's no problem. That's the brice on mem base on the out, because it gets blended in with the other mashkim. It's not oimid b'fnei, but if it is oimid b'fnei, then it's a problem. So that's what the Ramah quotes, a chumra on top of a chumra. So what if you have challah? The challah is baked already. So we have a rule, ain bishalah habishal. But what about bishalah harafil? If the challah was baked in the oven, and now I'm going to take the challah and put it into a pot of burning hot soup. Let's say I have a pot of burning hot soup, a kli rishon pot, and I put a piece of challah in there. So that's going to be a concern of yesh bishalah harafil. Where does that come from? That's a sugyim sochim. The Tosis quotes Msochim, Rav Lezer Mimitz, around Daf Mem, and Aleph, it's all Msochim. Rav Lezer Mimitz has a Gemara that he interprets that Yesh Afiyah Achabishal, Yesh Bishal Acharafiyah, Yesh Tzli Achabishal, Yesh Bishal Achatzliyah. The only time you say in Bishal Achabishal is if you're repeating the same form of Bishal. But if you're doing a different form of Bishal, then Yesh Bishal Acharafiyah. So if you put together Rav Lezer Mimitz, the Yesh Bishal Acharafiyah, with this first opinion of the Reed, that's the one that the Ramah quoted Lalocha, that you're not allowed to do shorin b'klisheni because mechzik in the vashel. So then it comes up, you're not allowed to put in soup nuts into the soup, calls man that the soup is yatzol lettuce. Because you eat the soup nuts. It's not like tavlin that you don't eat it, that you only eat it agav the soup. People eat soup nuts separately also. So to throw in soup nuts into the soup, calls man the soup is yatzol lettuce. So the Ramah says a combination of the two chumras. He says yesh bishal lachar afia, and yesh bishal b'klisheni if sharin also if it's a michael.
But those are soup nuts made
like baked. Unless you have soup nuts that were fried.
Right.
Now they make soup nuts that are fried, especially. Oh. So then you say yesh bishal lachar bishal, and those you say yesh bishal lachar bishal. So this is the famous thesis. The two opinions in thesis were the Irui Ish Mevashal, and that's that part of the Taisa that's more famous than the Taisa's later, Mem Beis on the base, where it's more Bishlei Muso. The Taisa quotes three sheetahs. Here they only quote two, and there they quote three. But the Iri Kli Rishon is Mevashal and not Mevashal, and then the third sheet, the Rabbeinu Baruch, the Sefer Truma, there's Mevashal Kadei Klipa. That's what we pass in the Shulchan Aruch. Not like the Rashbam, or here it says Rashbo. Here it says the Rashbo. There it says the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam, the two brothers. The Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam had a machloikis. In the middle, the compromise sheet is the Rabbeinu Baruch, the author of the Sefer Truma. Talmud, the Rabbeinu Tam says that Iri is Mevashel Kadei Klipa. So the first half of the Tosfos is about the Iri that's more famous from later. And the second half of the Tosfos, those are the 2 days in the Ri. Is there a Chumra in the Rabbanon that by Klisheni there's an issue of Mechzik and Mevashel? So Nachamot, what did the Mishnah say? In us in Beitza B'Tzalamech M'shul Shetiz Galgel, you're not allowed to cook even with toldos oish. V'lo yafkiyenu b'sudarim. Let's say I have sheets that were sitting right next to the fire, and the sheets are burning hot. I'm going to take a raw egg in the shell, and I'm going to wrap it up in the sheet, and the sheet is going to cause the egg to get cooked. So that's an issue, b'shul deraisa. V'lo yafkiyenu b'sudarim. If you're going to cook the raw food by putting it in a suda, if you're going to take a raw piece of meat, you wrap it up in a suda, it's not going to get cooked. Nothing will happen. There are certain foods that take much longer to cook. If your meat needs 2 hours to cook, so it's not going to help just to wrap it up in a suda. But if you have a raw egg, that can get cooked. So that's bishul betoldos ha'esh, we assume is the rice. Gilgal chayiv chatas. Then it says, Rabbi Yosi matir. Rabbi Yosi is, what is the matir exactly? So the Gemara wants to know what exactly is Rabbi Yosi Matir. So the Gemara says, "I'm Lamed Tesam and Alf 10 lines from the top." Amar Rab Nachman, "Bichamo to cook in the chamo kuli amal pligi dushari." There's no bisha b'chamo to cook. But told us a ur is eish, and told us a ur is told us eish. It's kuli amal pligi de osir. That's in Yisad deraisa Gilgal chayv chatas. Ki pligi de machlekes Rabbi Yosi in the Rabbanon is b'sudarim, a sudar that was heated up al yidei hachamo. Why? Because the water in the samovar was heated up by yesh. So if you're going to put a beitza next to the mecham, so the heat from the water is going to cook the egg. That's bishul betoldos ha'esh. So bishul betoldos ha'esh, that everybody agrees is awesome. Lo yafkiyenu b'sudorim. Sudorim means not that the suda was heated up by yesh. The suda was heated up by the chama. So Rabbi Yosi Matir goes only on the suda. It doesn't go on the first case. No, Bishul, but told us, that it's an Issa deraisa. And Bishul Bechama Kalama Pligi that it's Mutter. Ki Pligi, when is the Machlek? Is the Toldus Hachama. Is there Xerah the Rabbana or not? Ma'asavah Gazvina Toldus Hachama to Toldus Ur? Ma'asavah Loi Gazvina. Rabbi Yossi is Mutter. Rabbi Yossi holds that just like Bishul Bechama is Mutter even with the Rabbana, the Bishul Betoldus Hachama is also Mutter with the Rabbana. And the Chacham and the Rabbi Yossi disagree and they say no, you have to make Xerah the Rabbana. You can have two frying pans. One was heated up in the heat of the sunlight in the Sahara Desert. The other one was heated up by a fire. And you're going to have the two, one next to the other. Inside that's going to crack open an egg. On one, you say it's mutter. Crack open an egg on the other one, you're going to say it's usher. Because one is a toldus aish. There's no aish under either of the frying pans now. But one of the frying pans was heated by holding it on top of the fire. The other frying pan was heated by the sun. You're going to say it's mutter l'chatzilah to cook an egg in this one that was heated up by the sun. And it's chayiv chatos if you cook the egg in the other one. So that's what the chachamim, the Tanakama, the chacham, the Rabbi Yossi holds, that it makes sense. You have to make exer the Rabbanim, told us hachama, to told us ha'ur. Rabbi Yossi holds, you don't have to make exer. Lo yosu the chlufi. He's not afraid that it's going to get mixed up together. The Magen Avraham in Hilchos Shabbos quotes the Tshuvas Marshal that's not accepted l'alach. The Rav don't accept it l'alach. He says, when do the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yossi and say that there's a gzeret that you're not allowed to do bishul the toldas hachama or the toldas ha'esh? That's only if the toldas hachama is no longer in the chama. I had a frying pan in the Sahara Desert that got burning hot. Now I took it in the house, Eben Erev. I brought it inside the house. Now you look at the frying pan, you can't tell how did the frying pan get burning hot. Did it get burning hot by being in the sunlight? Did it get burning hot by holding it on top of a fire? What if the frying pan is still in the sun? I have a frying pan. If you open up an egg in the sun, it's not going to get cooked. But the frying pan absorbs so much heat in it, so if I crack an egg on the frying pan while it's sitting in the sun in the Sahara Desert, so then even the Shuvas Marshal holds that even the Tanakhama will agree that that's mutter, because there's no Marisayin. You see that the Tolda Sahama got hot from the Chama. There's no Gzeirin. Marsava, the Tanakhama holds Gazvino told the Sahama, or the Tolda Sahur, that's only if the Tolda Sahama is no longer in the Chama. But if it's still in the Chama, then the Marshal holds that there's no Gzeirin the Rabban. In the Mogen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah quotes that most of the postmen have rejected that Marshal. They hold that it's not so. The Tolda Sahama is also, even if it's still in the Chama, even though there really isn't any Hashash of Echlufi. Everybody will know that this is Tolda Sahama. But it's based on that mashal that some wanted to say that it should be permissible to cook bizman hazeh a dud shemesh. Why? Because the dud shemesh doesn't work at night. It only works in the daytime. It only works when it's still in contact with the shemesh. So everybody knows that this is a dud shemesh. That's what it says on dud shemesh. Saves up the heat. Okay.
So overnight, clean houses work in entire days, and they just like keep them going.
Uh huh.
And they even send energy back to the whole thing. They see how much they save.
Uh-huh.
Why isn't that Chama Mamash?
There's Bishul the Chama Mamash? I don't think so. The Chama, the heat, what the energy of the Chama is absorbed and then somehow it's converted into something else, no? I think it's converted into something else before it affects the water to make the water hot. So I think that's assumed to be a Shaila Bishul, the Toldas HaChama. But it's clear that the Toldas HaChama is coming from the Chama. Everybody knows that the Dud Shemesh, the heat comes from the Chama. So there were those who wanted to say that should be Mutter Legamrei, based on the Marshal. So first of all, we haven't accepted the Marshal. And secondly, that's what Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has, and Rav Soloveitchik can, that Rashi writes on this daf, Bishul B'Chama, everybody agrees to Shor, then daf Bishul B'Kach. Rashi says the whole reason why Bishul B'Chama is not Bishul at all, it's had to Gomri, even the Rabbanon, in Derech Bishul B'Kach. So that's what they raised the possibility. Maybe since this man has said there's a multi-billion dollar company who manufactures these Dudei Shemesh, how can they say in Derech Bishul B'Kach? So maybe today even Bishul and a Dud Shemesh would constitute an Issa Derech. That's what we spoke about a few times. Is that really so? Then before the Gemara comes to this pshat on Lamed Tesem and Aleph, the three cases, Bishul B'Chama, they all agree is Mutter, and Bishul B'Toldas Eish, they all agree is Anisa Deraisa, and Toldas HaChama is the Machlokes HaTanoim, where they make the Gzeridim also the Chlufi Anah. So till they get to that, so they quoted a Mishnah from Lakama Kuf Mem Vav on the base, all the way at the end of the Sifta. The Mishnah says that the Iser of Hatmoneh only applies in one direction. If you have something that's hot and you want to maintain the heat, hatmana on Erev Shabbos only if it's moist of hevel. Hatmana on Shabbos even if it's only mam and hevel. What if you're doing hatmana in the reverse? You have something that's cool and I want to dematmin it to prevent it from getting hot. So that's not a problem. The whole reason for hatmana is gzeir shem yatman baremet and gzeir shem yichata b'gecholet. But if you have something that's cool and you want to maintain its cool, it's a hot day, you don't want it to get cold, you don't want it to get hot, so that says that that's permissible, that is allowed. Notice in Tavshila, Telcha Bor, Bishvil Sheyehe Shomur, in order to protect it that it shouldn't get burning hot. So that's not a violation of Hatman. Okay. On this Mishnah, let's see, tomorrow morning maybe we'll learn about what time? 9:15? 9:30? 9:30 or so? Okay. On this Mishnah, Sunday we'll have the Bechina. What time should we have the Bechina? The Shiva is usually what, 11:30? Why have the Bechina? 10:30? So, okay, 10:30. It's not going to be too long. Okay, so on this Mishnah we're going to have to spend time. Tosis points out the three different shotim. What's the Maisa Shasu Anshei Tveria? What exactly did they do? So there are three shotim in Tosis, three shotim in the Gemara. And then the next Gemara is not even. Okay. But it's a very important Gemara.
Yeah, in the Tzitz Eliezer I saw this morning.
Yeah.
Not there, the